The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Somebody made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shovelbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is, what day is it now, according to Bill Belichick?
Today's Saturday.
Oh, wow. Today's Saturday. No, it's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. And obviously we're getting ready for the New York Jets. I should say New Jersey. I slipped up there. Coming to town Thursday night. Another big AFC East game. I think the Jets, this is a desperation game for them, right?
Yes.
Well, they're 1-4.
One and five. And Rex Ryan's job is hanging in the wind here, dangling.
He's pretty much done, I think.
He's done?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if they win every game from here on in.
If he goes 11-5.
Right. But.
So he's done.
Yeah, so he's done.
Geno Smith's going to go
but
on.
But I think from an ego thing, from a bragging right, it's a huge game.
Last game that he's a head coach.
Oh, I don't think they'll fire him in the season.
Last trip to Foxborough, I should say, as a head coach.
Yes.
As the Jets head coach.
No, as a head coach.
Yeah, I think he goes back to.
No, I think he'll be a head coach somewhere.
I do too.
You do?
I think someone will. He'll go back. He might go back to being a coordinator for a year.
Okay,
right. I think he'll get another job.
There were reports the reason they kept him is they had a fear of him immediately coaching another team and it making them look bad.
Well, if you were the.
How pathetic.
If you were the eight.
If he's not going to coach, why would you get rid of him?
Fred's so right about his. All the shots that he takes at the New Jersey Jets, every one of them is dead on. Just how poorly run they are.
Well, I think it was Curran who called them dysfunctional yesterday.
Yeah, it was
Curran. A mess, I think, is also what he was saying. Among other things.
It's true. But if you're the GM or head or owner of a team doing the hiring of your next head coach, and you're looking at Rex Ryan, do you say, you know, Rex, I think you're a great coach, and I'm thinking of hiring you, but it would be on the condition that you don't put the team in a position where they have to back up your words all the time. Would you say that, or do you not care about
I don't
the
care
bluster?
About that stuff.
You don't care about
I
that?
I care about
Oh, I would have discussions with him about the way he talks and maybe sort of learning from some mistakes and things that went on in New York. Yes.
Because you're my CEO. You're not just my head coach.
I'm much more concerned with his inability, seemingly, to develop an offense.
But you can't tiptoe around
as a coach.
Yeah.
Tiptoe around what?
Like, you can't try to massage it and let him figure out what you're trying to say. You have to tell him.
I mean, stop being a jackass. I think he knows
that
at times he has said things that have hurt his football team.
Yeah.
I think he knows that. I don't think there's any doubt.
Well, then he doesn't learn from his mistakes because he keeps doing it.
People don't call him on. Like, people above him don't say knock it off.
Right.
Maybe if they said knock it off, maybe he would try to change his tune. But if they don't, and he figures,
I'm not sure the people above him don't like it. I think they're very much into ratings and back page wars and all that.
Yeah. Listen, if that's something that's important, yeah, you have to say it if that's something that's important to you. But that's far less important to me than I think he's great on the defensive side, not so great on the offensive side. And I have to figure out if I'm going to hire him, is that just because they haven't gotten the right players or because he's not doing enough to develop anybody?
Right.
Because what are the young offensive players that have performed well for him?
Right.
Jeremy Curley,
mm-hmm.
Sean
you know,
Green.
Couple of offensive linemen.
Sean Green
had a little flash there, but you know, there's a lot more. The list of guys that
Dustin
did nothing.
Dustin Keller was okay. Was he pre him?
Is longer. I would give him credit for him, even if he were already drafted.
But look what
just
he did
like
to
Revis.
Mark Sanchez.
I would give him credit for Revis, too, even though he didn't draft
him. Look, I still think Mark Sanchez isn't that bad a quarterback. I really don't. I think he just got messed up.
Yeah, but that wasn't because of Rex Ryan.
I don't know. Well, it was because of how he was handled in that offense. So I don't know who we're talking
He's
about.
He's mentally there. Weak. Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
That's his problem. Mm. He has talent. I agree with you. I mean, there was a reason that he was the sixth overall pick. He had an ability.
Yeah.
But I think mentally, and he nailed it in that Hard Knocks episode way back when, whenever that was.
Fucking so much.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's not how a starting quarterback operates. You know, Tom Brady gets pissed off when he has a bad practice, but he doesn't sit there and say, I can't play anymore.
Right.
I mean, there's a certain level of confidence that has to be in, you know.
Well, I heard
inbred in that position.
Manish Mehta on the
urine stream.
Dennis and
Callahan. You're missing all your marks today.
Really?
Well, anyway, he wrote a really in-depth column on the struggles of the Jets, and to him, it comes all down to Idzik, the general manager.
Well, looking at some of the things that they've done, I would put it all on Idzik and Woody Johnson. I mean, the fact that they're over $20 million under the cap is laughable. Laughable to be that far. To be that talent deficient and have that much cap space doesn't make any sense to me. Allowing themselves to get in the position that they did with the secondary heading into a season, that's not just bad luck with injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have a plan. Mm. There's a lot of talk, Idzik, Rex, and Geno Smith, right, getting absolutely killed. Who do you think is the best one out of those three?
Rex.
And he's the one that's sure to be gone.
Right. Yeah.
It's just another example of how everything they do is backwards.
Right. And, you know, everything that I've heard, that Geno Smith pick was an Idzik pick. Now, Rex has said, I think it's a great pick, but he could be just – taking the sword from
the company
general manager.
I think he has done that.
You know?
And by all accounts,
but
Rex...
But it's very clear that it was Idzik's pick.
By all accounts, Rex wanted Darrell Revis back, and Darrell Revis wanted to go back and play for Rex.
Right.
Idzik didn't want him. So they have money and no corners, and the best corner in football wanted to play for you.
That's part of the reason what I was getting at with all the money that they had.
I mean, put him on that defense right now and just think of how you might look at them
differently.
Their
defense has played well even with no secondary.
No, but they have no
Imagine
secondary.
Imagine if they had Revis.
You put the best player you could possibly
with
get
Wilkerson
there.
With Wilkerson up front and David Harris and, you know, yeah.
And
that supposedly was an Idzik no, that he said no.
And
I don't know if that's true.
You
no,
look at the whole plan, because I actually do think that they have some talent, the Jets. They should. I mean, their schedule has been ridiculously tough. And that's part of the reason. If the games were spread out a little bit more, they would have lost all the games that they lost. But they're losing them all in a row, and it's ending their season. Because, let's face it, you're not coming back from 1-5. If you went into the season and you make a move like that, like Andy's talking about, that could make your defense that much better. You drafted Geno Smith in the second round last year. That doesn't mean you have to hand the reins over to the guy and say, he's our quarterback, just because he played as a rookie. He had to play as a rookie because Sanchez got hurt.
I would have started Vic.
I would have started Vic, too.
I said that beginning of the season.
And I don't think Vic would be this magic potion to create
He might have
offense.
Been ready if you told him he was starting.
But if you had Trump. Vic at the start of the season, maybe you get off to a 3-3 start. Or even if it was 2-4. You're not dead yet. You're telling me that he might not have won the Chicago game, that the Jets absolutely dominated that game. Six trips into the red zone. Without points. I mean, you're telling me that Michael Vick couldn't have gotten one touchdown?
Right.
That Geno Smith could, and they win that game. And then maybe you're not 1-5.
I mean, Geno's, he's even afraid to run right now. He doesn't even, like,
holds the ball for it. Like I said, it's not like you drafted him third overall, and we made a commitment to this guy. We got to live it through. He was the second round pick. Why do you have to have him playing?
How much do you think living in the shadow of the Giants affects them?
I think that's what
I think Woody Johnson's got a thing.
I think that's what Andy was getting at with that. Maybe he doesn't mind the bluster because it creates headlines and whatnot.
Yeah.
If you're going to lose, might as well be entertaining.
But how does it affect their decision making if it does?
Well, with him, I mean, keeping him maybe.
Yeah. But like
and needing a quarterback, going up to get a quarterback, going to get Mark Sanchez. I don't know. I mean, everybody needs a quarterback.
Right.
So it's not like you just get a quarterback for ratings or back page headlines.
Well, but is that what you're saying? Is that what you're implying, Fred, that maybe they are just making moves to
But then when you bring Revis in?
Right. Yeah, that's a good
Except
point.
Except that, for all I know, is personal. If ownership and the GM didn't want him, I mean, he kind of jerked them around for a few years.
Yeah.
Maybe they were sick of that and didn't want to be jerked around
could
again.
Be. Yeah.
So that could be personal. Could but be. Certainly signing Revis would be a splash move.
Sure.
Yeah. But
I mean, they didn't do anything splashy. I mean, take Revis off the table for your reason. What, you know, what did they do?
Right.
They had a chance to re-sign Antonio Cromartie. They didn't.
Right.
They had a chance to get Rogers Cromartie. You know, they didn't. And instead, they go in with no cornerbacks. I mean,
they thought they had D. Milliner,
the best corner.
But
in the
he
NFL.
Was hurt. Yeah. This is part of the whole thing. He got hurt right away, and I'm not even saying. A lot of people think he's been a disappointment. I'm not even going to say that. I don't know. I've never really seen the guy play enough.
Right.
You need more than one person.
Right.
They had a safety playing cornerback. Antonio Allen has played cornerback for them for the majority of the season. He's not even a cornerback.
This turned into Jets Confidential.
Well, it's Jets week.
I know, but we have a short week, and I think there's actually a ton of Patriots stuff going on.
Yeah, oh, sure. I mean,
apparently Browner's playing.
Well, Browner says he's playing.
It's good to return against a division rival.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that he says he's playing, but he says he's ready to go.
Well, and he good said to it's, go. Good to, it's good. It's good to return
go.
Against
yeah.
a division rival.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
that's this weekend.
Yeah.
You're playing a division rival. It's would certainly seem that. You're going to be certainly without Conley. He's not practicing concussion. It certainly looks like you could be without Stork as well.
Yeah, again.
So the Devy, Kleins, Cannons are part of it against Muhammad Wilkerson.
This could be a, 9-7 game.
Well,
with
especially
the weather
with the weather.
And everything
well,
else.
That was my next thing. You have no running back. Sorry, Jonas Gray. I know he'll probably get called up and he'll be given a chance. But you have no running back, and it's going to – I heard the BZ guy said car wash. It's going to be like playing inside
really?
A car wash.
Oh, wow.
3 inches of rain, somebody else said.
Oh,
and,
God.
I mean, it
– ugly.
If it was a game we needed LeGarrette Blount, this is it, right?
Instead, we have
– And he doesn't sound happy in Pittsburgh.
Brandon Bolden. Yeah, we're going to trade for him.
Did you hear him?
Yeah. Is that right?
He said, I was on one of the best teams in football last year, and how did he say it? And I should be, of course, I want the ball more, which tells me he's not happy.
I just don't like it when players do that when you start losing. Yeah, I just don't like it. Anyway, I don't want to get off on LeGarrette Blount, but.
We don't talk Steelers.
I didn't really think about him as a. Trade possibility, but
oh yeah,
maybe that is a trade possibility.
One of our emailers said, "Can we trade a 7th for Blount?" And then he said, "Or we'll send him a 6th if we can throw in Amendola," which made me laugh.
Poor Danny,
I do feel bad for him. I know no one else really does, but
right.
But yeah, there are a lot of personnel, I think, decisions between the linebackers. You know, Hightower. People sort of wrote he'll be back yesterday.
Not necessarily.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that people continue to fall into the trap of when you speak, that means you're playing.
Right.
I don't think that means that anymore.
And he may be back. I don't know. It may have been close the other day, and the extra 4 days matters, and he's back out there.
I mean, the fact that it's going to be, if it's going to be soaking wet, does that affect the decision to play him? Because he's got a knee, and there's more of a chance of him.
Wouldn't really with me.
Okay. I will say this for you,
Andy.
On turf,
too.
Give you a little bit of an apology. He's obviously
he suffered an injury?
Well, I knew he suffered an injury.
No,
I didn't know how serious it was.
Fred never saw it.
You did deem it a torn ACL, I will say that. So I'm only going to apologize so much.
I may have missed the ligament. It may have been an MCL grade 1.
Well, it's a big ligament to miss.
Stefania Bell over there.
One ends the season. The other one takes time to just heal.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a partially torn ACL. Those happen occasionally.
Okay. Anyway. He had a significant enough injury to miss at least one game.
Two
games, right?
He missed two
and
games.
Maybe three.
And maybe
you got three on the horizon.
And we're knocking on the door for three. Now, I do think there's a chance that he plays. I do think the desperation with Mayo out might impact that a little bit.
And I don't really think the weather on field turf, it's not that big a factor.
Well, the fact that he was a game-time decision Sunday leads you to believe he was that close anyway.
But we've been there before. Who
was
it?
You know
what was the guy? Patrick, every
Patrick
game
Chung,
go
one
out.
Of those safeties.
Patrick Chung was like a game time decision five weeks in a row.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure out. I know I said yesterday. I just don't know if it was. We'll see how it is, and you know what? We're gonna you're not going to be able to convince us to that you're going to play, and that's why I'm upset, or he's moving around. Now, John Dennis mentioned this morning that someone that he heard that watched the workout said that he was walking around, I think he put it, like a man with two wooden legs. Like, he wasn't looking fluid. Yeah, like he couldn't move at all. Your voice on the morning show over at WEEI.
We'll get into that later. I don't think we need to leave the show.
I think we need to get into that.
No, it's Jets week. We got football talk.
There's still microphone in.
But you know, it is not a straightforward game in terms of personnel. Definitely.
No, and the weather is going to alter that. Now, you would look at it normally, right? Jets have a bad secondary, no corners. Their pass rush is pretty good, but this is a game where you might say, well, I'm going to spread it out. The offense is starting to click. Gronk is starting to click. But the pass rush and spreading it out is a concern. And then just the weather. If it's literally a car wash, I know Brady is one of the greatest bad weather quarterbacks ever. If it's a car wash, it's a car wash.
That's what causes
me. If it's the Bengals,
pause.
2 minutes.
Remember last year when they had the two bad rain games here, it was LeGarrette Blount with like 200 yards rushing in both games.
Right.
They did not go to the pass in those
That's
games.
My point.
Wait a minute.
The normal game plan, the Bills
Jets
game.
The Bills game at the end of the year, he certainly ran well.
And then
in the year against the Jets is exactly
not
what,
early in the year, late in the year.
Well, I'm talking about the rain games.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The last time they played on Thursday night against the Jets, it was a monsoon.
Oh, time
and,
too.
And
yeah.
To Andy's point, when it rains to that level, it's hard even for Tom Brady, who I think is the best bad weather quarterback in football.
Right.
Because I would spread them out and throw on them. But I'm not sure you're going to be able to.
Right.
That's the concern. If it's that bad.
And plus, if it's a driving rain and it's wind, forget it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think you can do that to – I think you could spread them out and not worry about pass rush at all because the ball's going to get out really fast. But if the rain
better.
If the rain is that bad.
I just have this vision of Muhammad Wilkerson actually picking up Devy and throwing him into Brady for the sack.
Yeah, but you know how, like
– I don't feel bad for Devy.
They've been able
reason.
To do that.
You don't. I don't know.
He's not one of his guys. No, Gronk.
And it's weird. I don't
He's
know. I
Gronk.
Feel bad for Danny Amendola, but the tuba player
but
who's playing.
But a lot of times, rain slows down a pass rush, too.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit overrated in the turf.
Not on
turf.
Field turf, yeah.
I think we're looking old school and mud and muck and
maybe.
The old field here. It's field turf. Unless you're an idiot and don't have the right footwear on. And, you know, Hightower was talking about we try our different cleats this week for the wet ground. If you slip on field turf, I think it's your fault, not the weather's fault.
Oh, I don't think it affects necessarily. You might slip, but I don't think it's affecting, you know.
But if I see Ninkovich do what he did in KC 20 times, I'm blaming him. You weren't properly prepared.
You know, like
play.
Fred said with LeGarrette Blount in those games at the end of the year, like, I don't think that affects a running back. You know, he might slip or whatever. Everybody can lose their footing, but you're going to be able to run.
No, but you
it's
could
not
slip
like
today.
It's not like being
it's not
a mutter.
Raining out, I can go out there and slip.
Yeah, it's not like being a mutter.
It's not like grass that gets soaked and
no,
then
I know,
moves
but,
differently.
But remember, it
it's
got,
rubber and plastic.
It got flooded. They were sloshing through it last
year.
Oh, yeah,
and Blount was running. You're right. Absolutely right, Fred. Blount
but not footing-wise.
Two huge games.
I think you see
weather.
The slipping more when a guy goes down and then slides 5 yards.
It just might slow you down a little bit more.
You actually have cleats that go down into the ground.
I know.
And the ground doesn't move because it's fake.
Okay.
That's because it's fake, goof.
Okay, so what else? What else do we need to talk about before we get into calls and emails here at webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline?
See, I was envisioning, and I don't know what, without Ridley, it could be a big Vereen game, obviously, because it's, who else? But I was envisioning spreading them out, spreading out the Jets, getting them in sub packages, and running on them.
Yes.
That's what I was envisioning. Now, I don't know if the weather hurts your ability to do that because maybe the Jets don't go sub as much. Saying you want to go ahead and go, you want to spread it out and throw it all over the place in a car wash, as that guy said. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Because I could see Vereen having success running the ball. The Jets are pretty good run defense, pretty physical front.
Oh yeah.
But I think if you spread them out, you might be able to gash them a little bit, which I think the Broncos did last week very effectively. Ronnie Hillman had 100 yards.
They were still in the game though. They were still in the game though.
Well, because that's what running the ball does, Andy. The running game keeps both teams in the game.
Did the Patriots run in Buffalo?
No.
So how come the Bills were down a score in the fourth quarter?
How come we scored 37 points?
I'm just asking. How come it was a one-score game? We blame it on the running game?
I can't play defense, too. I can only put points on the board.
He's such a wuss.
Hasman cannot play defense and throw the ball, too.
Thank you, Eric Scalavino.
A lot of talk on the media. And I don't know what the point is, but which is the, you know, which is harder to replace, or which is the more devastating loss, Mayo or Ridley?
Neither.
Is there any point to that discussion?
No. But it's a media
topic. Yeah, it's a topic.
It's just a fun fact, as you would like to say.
Fodder.
I mean, that's what we do. If talk you don't want to do fodder. It, Fred, then you can't take part in this business, this industry.
Get the F out.
I mean, you're pointing fingers. We tape that stupid all access thing every week where we have one of those types of stupid arguments.
And me and Andy made a cottage industry.
No, I know.
I mean, it's what we do.
We do one every Friday. Thanks for reading.
I'm sorry, but you're above it all.
But I see stories being written about it.
Right. That's what columnists do. Yeah. They react to news and talk about it.
But if you come down on one side or the other, does it matter to the, you know?
Again, none of this matters.
No, none of what we say matters.
I think they're both big losses for the Patriots. I really do. I don't think that they had a legitimate backup to either guy.
Correct.
I would agree with that sentiment. Yeah. I would agree. Now, Karen Garigian from the Boston Herald actually wrote a column today saying that that's it.
Yeah, they can't win because Mayo's out.
No
ridiculous.
Super Bowl with no Mayo.
Did they lose to the Broncos because they didn't have Mayo?
Rationale?
I don't know.
You can't go to the Super Bowl without Mayo. He's just too easy, irreplaceable. I mean,
really?
I didn't quite get it. I have tremendous.
Wow.
She's not one of the ones I like to put a check mark next
no.
to. I have as much respect for her as any member of the local media. In any
and
sport.
Yet,
I disagree with that.
Thank you.
That column. I just don't see how a linebacker is the difference between
irreplaceable.
I mean, the Denver Broncos just lost their linebacker. Their Super Bowl hopes done. Danny Trevathan, he's on IR, designated to return, but he broke his leg. So are they done? Do they have no Super Bowl hopes? Of course not. A middle linebacker is not the difference between winning and losing a Super Bowl.
Well, 50 cent piece
it's not
a
like
dozen.
It's LT
did she,
on the edge.
I didn't
you know,
read
who's the
column.
Centerpiece of your whole defense.
I didn't read the column, but is she also fact, you know,
off-field
adding
stuff.
In that the offense won't be able to cover it up this year? Is she factoring that in?
It was more him on and off the
field. It was him on and off the field. And it was mostly off the field when I started getting into the meat.
But also, she said, and it's not just getting everybody else in place, it's then doing your job and being able to do it all, not being overwhelmed, you know.
But he can still take part in the off-the-field stuff.
Yeah, but he's not. It's the off-field stuff that he takes on the field. You know, like Andy just said, in terms of the preparation and communication and
And are we
leadership.
Sure he can take part in the off-field stuff? I'm starting to wonder what the hell's wrong with him.
I'm still curious about that injury. What exactly?
Like,
it,
I'm
it
starting
is.
To wonder, why? Given Bill's emotion, if this is borderline career-threatening
well,
type injury.
That's what I was thinking.
And
too.
ACL, MCL is not. You know, regular. Even patella is not. Which is why yesterday, you know, I said, is it possible to tear your patella and your ACL or nerve damage is something? My wife wondered, you know, maybe it's a, like other people said, the
Robert Edwards
thing and it's nerve or. It just seems like this is. Feels different, sounds different than norm.
Yeah. So, he'll be playing next week.
No, and I don't really want to make light of it because that would be sad. As much as I think he needs to take a pay cut and he's overrated and overpaid, I don't want to see. I mean, he's a great guy. He's been great with us on this show a number of times. Just because he doesn't make plays, I don't want him to, like, blow out his knee. I mean, there's a.
I'm sure you don't.
No, I don't. Unlike you, I don't like injuries.
Even you don't like
Unlike you and that radio host in Philadelphia, I don't root for injuries.
Who's the radio host in Philadelphia?
The guy who tweeted out, dance about that, Victor Cruz, or something.
Oh,
and then
God.
Claimed he didn't see, no, that's not what I meant, no. He has a history of being an a-hole.
How could you
He's
not,
like the Kirk Minahan of Philadelphia.
What could he have meant?
24 minutes it took.
Wait, what could he have meant if that's not
he
what he
claims
meant?
He only saw him drop the pass. He didn't see him.
Oh, stop.
Because I was
it.
Walking.
What
well,
an
thank
embarrassment.
You, thank you.
No, but he also,
that is the proper response to it.
What an embarrassment.
He also says you're done. So I don't think he would say that if it was just dropping
I'd have
pass.
More respect for him
oh,
if he
no,
just said.
No, no, he claimed he's not good anymore and he doesn't make plays anymore.
Right.
No, I would never. No.
So then what are you apologizing for? Right? You don't need to apologize then.
And why'd you delete it?
Right.
Because you're an idiot.
He has sort of fallen back to earth, Victor Cruz, in general.
Yeah. Well, it hurts him when he runs down the field and his quarterback decides to throw to the other team.
That hasn't happened this year.
No, but all of last year when he fell off the map.
Well, what's his problem this year?
I don't know.
Everybody
tore
else?
His patella?
Everybody, well, now. Jesus. This guy, I'll tell you, he gets one thing in his head and nothing can ever get him off that one thing.
Nope. It's like a pit bull.
It's kind of like
just
someone who thinks that you can't win running the football. I mean, I don't know how stupid that is.
after a team that is based around, it's all a little offense around running the ball one.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
They don't win if that Russell Wilson doesn't play like that, I'll tell you that.
I agree. Let's go. They're not there if Marshawn Lynch doesn't play.
Here's someone that I was expecting to hear from yesterday.
Speaking of Rich, real quick, we're talking about Seahawks. Tyron Smith, NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
That's awesome. I didn't see that.
I don't remember a lot of tackles, and there's no doubt that that offensive line is the story of the Cowboys, and he is
the
star of the offensive line, and he protects Romo. And again, I said it last week when I picked the Seahawks. I said, you know, DeMarco Murray won't be running through those big holes. Well, he was. So that offensive line is just phenomenal. And but to see a left tackle as
lineman got the offensive
player of the week, Tyron Smith.
Wow,
I think that's awesome.
It's very cool. Somewhere, Hog Hannah just like high fiving. My boys
said, "I told Andy and Paul it was coming back. I told him it was sick. It's all cyclical."
Several years ago,
gonna run right at these loose defenses.
Gonna run right at them.
I was expecting to hear from this last caller yesterday, but here he is today. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Fred. I tried to get through yesterday, man, but y'all were too darn busy. Dog, couldn't get through.
Yep. Tim's time, baby.
Yeah, it was Paul. I'm gonna get you up big time, man. I told you, but you do it. But you don't like football that much as you say when you're at home. But
what did you tell me?
You're an idiot, he said.
I was going to call him an idiot. I said, I'm telling you, watch. That's going to open up the rest of the offense in the middle if he's on the outside.
Wait a minute.
He's on the outside.
The rest of the offense opened up because Gronk is back.
Yeah, let me know what happens to the offense if something happens to Gronkowski.
Let me ask you something else. Gronk is back true enough, okay? They doubled the triple. But now they got to worry about Tim.
Tim's those three plays a game when he's on the field.
And they have to worry about catching the ball. The next time the defensive backs of Buffalo are in that spot, they'll have to worry about catching the ball and not allowing the other guy to catch it because they were there. Right?
It was three of them.
And they missed the ball.
Oh, don't take away from Tim's. It was a great catch.
Unbelievable catch.
So, Aldridge, I take it you like Tim's.
Yes. But, okay. You and Andy, they're coming down here a few minutes ago. That writer. Denver lost. They middle linebacker. They ain't no super hope for them. The difference between our team and Denver, they got depth. And they got people they can attack and work with. We don't, not yet. But you got anybody replace Mayo, which I hate that went down. I hate because the range is not that big enough strong to run in the middle, man. I don't care what y'all say. Spread him out, whatever. Yeah, he get his couple, get two things. He might be out there. And then, I don't know if they're going to bring Jonas Graham.
How long are you going to let this go? Because I haven't understood one sentence that he has said. And I don't mean this disrespect. I think it's a bad cell phone.
It reminds
it's not
me of
Eldridge's
King of the
fault.
Hill.
I can't hear it.
Remember King of the Hill? Dang, 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 dang.
Okay. Well, I'm saying.
It's not, Eldridge, it's not your fault. I can't really hear it.
We don't speak Southern.
No, that's not.
Okay.
You're a bad person. I almost said another word.
Okay, Andy.
A-hole? Eldridge, I know you're excited, but slow it down just so. I think it's a little speed issue.
All right. What I'm saying is we don't have a backup for Mayo.
Okay.
For Ridley. Because Lorraine ain't going to be able to run in the middle for the other 14, 15 games, man.
Jonas Gray, Eldridge. What about Jonas Gray out of Notre Dame?
I'm less worried about the running back.
Fred
situation.
Loved what he saw from Jonas Gray at 3.8 yards a carry in the preseason.
He did well.
Yeah, he also fumbled a lot, too, in the preseason, too, didn't he?
No, he didn't. Correct. You're thinking of White. White fumbled twice in the Redskins.
It was the other big guy that fumbled.
Yeah, it was my guy.
Not White.
The guy I liked out of Indiana. Stephen A. Houston.
Stephen Houston, yeah.
Houston, okay. But like that email
I said the other big guy. I couldn't remember his name.
I liked him.
Or six for LeGarrette Blount to get him back.
Oh, I would trade a seven for a Blount or something.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah.
That would be a good Belichickian move.
Yeah. You think they would take a seventh for him?
Why not?
For the defense. For the linebacker, I'll bring back Anderson. Because
I think he's on the Titans.
He's on the Titans, so you'd have to trade for him.
Trade a six for him. Six for Blount, seventh for
him. So why wouldn't you have just given him that contract?
Trade,
then?
Though, you
that would be Belichickian to give him the contract and a draft pick when you could have given him the contract?
No.
No, you could have given him.
You need him.
No.
You didn't think you were going to need him. Now you need him.
You need him now. But my question is, Andy.
Yes.
What needed him. Offensive line? Because that still bothers me, man.
Well, I think the offensive line needs to get healthy first and foremost. Now, I am concerned about Dan Conley. I am concerned about repetitive concussions and where this is going to go. Stork will be back, I'm assuming. You know, I shouldn't say that. I don't know what his history of concussions is at Florida. But if it's not this week, it'll be next week. And, okay, you're back in the center, and he's great. But you have too many injuries in the middle of that line, which wasn't very good to start with.
And you have now three offensive linemen who have missed games with concussions that we know of, because Solder is in that as well.
Right.
And I don't know about Wendell or Vollmer, but you're getting – when you deal with those head injuries, it's different now.
Yeah.
You know, so like Andy said, with Conley, it's not just, well, he has a concussion, he'll miss a game or two, and then he'll be back.
He has at least one every season.
He's had several concussions now.
Right.
And you wonder, is one of these going to be the last one? And then he's going to have to say, you know, I got to retire.
And this one was not a obvious, he got, you know.
Right.
Dominic Easley blindsided him on an interception return.
None of the ones that I've seen.
Well, which is bad.
Generally, the offensive line ones aren't like that. Well, because they're all interior play and they just bang their heads. And that's, to me, in a lot of ways worse.
And
Gopes writes in, I was listening to the playbook yesterday and Eric had a negative tone when he was talking about Brady. He said that he was good, but far from perfect. Even when we all agreed he was amazing, he's putting the guy down. I personally think he is saying this just so we can keep saying that Brady is declining and not good anymore. What do you guys think? And P.S., Andy, when are you going to respond to Kurt? More Andy and Paul. Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
Kurt.
I'll let you defend yourself.
Okay, was Tom Brady perfect on Sunday?
Pretty close.
Was he? Was he perfect? Was he the perfect human being on Sunday?
Was he amazing?
Oh, was he the perfect human being? No. I
mean, was he the perfect NFL player on Sunday?
Who among us, Eric?
Did he make any mistakes at all on Sunday?
Was he as good as he's been?
No. That's not my question.
No.
Did he make every single? Did he do every single thing right on the football field?
No one does.
No one does. So he wasn't perfect. That's all I said.
That's all I said. Oh, okay.
This moron who says I had a negative tone. Moron. Now I have a negative tone. Right.
He's moron.
Yes.
I don't ever want to hear you say to me that when I get criticized, I lash out. Because that was lashing out. He didn't defend himself. He got defensive.
That's true.
That was good.
He lashed out.
Myself.
That was good.
Well, you didn't really, so I don't know why you got so, like.
So that's all you said. Obviously, he wasn't.
I was actually praising him and having one of his best games in a while. And I just had to add in he wasn't perfect.
He was perfect.
Nobody was saying he was perfect. I was praising
that
him.
I'm sorry, that moron.
I was praising Brady for having one of his best games.
He likes us, Paul.
And I just, as a caveat, said, you know, he wasn't perfect. I mentioned the Tim's overthrow in the first.
Sure.
There's no negative
it was one
tone.
Of those.
So just relax. It's just some idiot trying to get us
It wasn't
get
like you said.
And it worked.
And it worked, you idiot. You gave him what he wanted.
Right.
It wasn't like you said. You know,
that's
he wasn't perfect out there. You were like, you know, listen, you know, he wasn't perfect, but he was much better.
Exactly.
So tonality issue. Andy and I know a lot about tonality.
Haynes in Houston says, it's now obvious that the big three in the passing game this season are Gronkowski, Edelman, and LaFell. Which newcomer has the best chances to develop into the fourth weapon for Brady? Tim Wright, Brian Minimoss, or Brian Minimoss Timms? Fourth option. I think Wright has
I would say Wright.
Yeah.
We've already seen flashes of what he might be able to do. If Gronk is going to dominate the middle of the field, that might open up some things. I've liked his speed. So if he gets the LaFell chance where the whole defense kind of trends towards Gronk, I could see Wright catching the ball in stride and having, you know, Jerry Rice like. Not Jerry Rice, but remember Jerry Rice used to just take a slant and go?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's going to be opportunities to do that for these guys, these other complimentary guys with Gronk now being Gronk, as Eric Friend said.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Justin's
now,
in Virginia. Hey,
shot.
Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys? To back up Eldridge's point, even though Tim's hasn't proved much.
Tell us what it was.
Could you tell us what Eldridge's point was?
Exactly, no. I just don't like Brian Timms. But to Eldridge's point, I don't think Brian Timms is viewed by Bill as the least. I don't know how to say it, but I don't think he's the fifth wide receiver on this depth chart, because between Aaron Dobson barely being able to get on the field and Danny Amendola working his way off the field and not getting catches when he's on the field, I think that Brian Timms is going to get more catches than either Danny Amendola or Aaron Dobson down the road.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'd be surprised.
I won't say definitively either way, because I think Dobson and Amendola are total unknowns right now.
I agree, and I wouldn't necessarily dispute that statement either, because I don't think that.
And he might win that battle with like 11.
Well,
or whatever.
Right. I was about to say. I don't see Tim's getting many more than say 15 catches for the year.
But that
easily could lead that trio.
Quick note that was brought to my attention about Amendola. He does have 46 man bonuses. Game day roster bonuses. So just, you know, as a team looking to save money and with Tommy Kelly.
Why are we looking to save money?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask them that.
Yeah.
We had to get rid of Mankins and Kelly.
I thought we're flush right now.
Well, we are.
With cap space.
Yeah.
Talking about money.
They would not. I think it's like, was it 40-something thousand or, per game? So you got 10 weeks left. You could save $500,000 if he's on the inactive list.
All right. Thanks for the call, Justin. Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia writes in.
Hey.
Good day, gentlemen, and Andy. I'm wondering, given the injuries we suffered on Sunday, who would you like to see realistically brought to fill the gaps we have? I personally would love to see the law firm brought back. I feel terrible for Ridley. This was the first season he didn't fumble all over the place. Here's hoping Vereen can pick up the slack. And
by the way, so
Eric is the man.
Oh. Look at that.
Who said this? Some idiot.
Some moron.
Murray from Halifax.
I had heard, who told me this, that there's a report that Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is rehabbing. He's not healthy.
Oh, I had not heard that. Had not heard that.
I heard it. I didn't read it. I heard it. So
I would take Benny back if, you know, that's the health aside, assuming that he's healthy. I would rather have Blunt if they had that option to trade for him.
Is that at the top of the list?
Michael Bush. Didn't we have him in for a workout?
We told
this off
he was
season?
Like borderline dead.
Well, I mean, you
know. DOA.
But what are you going to get?
Like, yeah, but if he's like DOA dead.
Would you rather have Michael Bush or Jonas Gray?
I'll give Jonas Gray a shot. If they legitimately thought, like, this guy can't play, Big Cat Williams style, this guy can't play, he's dead, his career is over, he's done, then give Jonas Gray a shot.
I was thinking.
And I think Jonas Gray might get his shot this week, and then you can make a decision.
Yeah, Jonas Gray, man,
it's
going to
be the rain, so I'll have an excuse.
Well, if he fumbles.
Oh, he doesn't fumble. Those guns,
you're
not getting that ball.
Actually, sometimes big arms can hurt you, you know? Covering up because it's just not enough room there for the ball.
How would you know?
I've seen a lot of guys with big arms. I'm sorry, I don't take steroids.
Neither do I.
Alex Lately. From Philly, glad to Ever. Be listening to a Saturday edition of PFW in Progress.
Since
today is not Wednesday, according to Bill.
Not our first ever Saturday edition, though. Remember? Didn't we do a Super Bowl Saturday?
Worst Super Bowl Saturday
ever. That was the worst show we've ever done.
That was in
In Indianapolis. Yeah.
That little
right.
We have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, it's not a secret that Paul thinks that only two or three teams in the NFL are good and the rest stink. However, I do get nervous when Paul says that a team has no shot at beating the Patriots like he did when talking about the Jets. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I know the Jets stink.
I didn't say Chicago had no shot.
Well, I thought you did. They stink.
No, I do think they stink, but they do have some talented players.
So this
team
stinks.
The Jets, I don't think, have a shot.
No, but do the Patriots stink?
No.
Oh.
I know
so how
Jets...
can a stinky team beat a good team?
Yeah, you never heard of an upset?
So it's a shot in the dark that the Bears... So the Bears have no chance. It's a shot in the dark, just crazy upset.
Because,
yes, I know upset happens. Appalachian State beats Michigan. It happens.
Can anybody respond to any of the nonsense that you ever spew?
No.
The Raiders beating the Patriots would be a shot in the dark. That would not be the same thing as the Bears beating the Patriots.
So the Bears stink.
They both beat upsets.
There's different levels of an upset.
So there's different... If the Bears stink, what are the Raiders?
The Raiders are the worst team in football.
So stink
the Raiders
isn't
in the
isn't
Jaguars.
Worst.
No.
Stink is average in the NFL.
For Paul,
right.
Yes.
Right, that's average.
Because I think the Bears are a middling team.
Yeah. When you're an average team, you stink.
I agree.
I thought they stunk.
What did you just say?
Average, it stinks.
So I agree with Fred.
Yeah. Average stinks. I know the Jets stink.
That's all? I mean, Fred and I actually agree on something.
I think he's mocking you, just so you know.
I know the Jets stink and are among Paul's list of 28 teams that stink. But I don't think this game is as big a gimme as Paul thinks. Rex has always given this offense problems, and our defense has only one guy that can cover.
That's a myth, by the way.
Two linebackers and no consistent
one that
pass
I was
rush.
About to debunk.
Yes, Brady has like 50 passer ratings. He also has like 149 sevens mixed in
there. I still
think
we are going to win, but are these concerns not valid?
Yeah, Paul, look that up, because I'm sick of hearing Rex always. Rex has.
Rex has.
Not Rex always.
Rex has bothered Brady.
But Brady has also bothered Rex.
But I'm going to give you the point totals of every game. Okay, Patriots 2009 was Rex's first year, right? 9 points. Then it was 31 points.
Boy, Brady stunk.
14 points. Then 45 points.
Oh, we are learning that the first in the meeting every season could be a problem.
That's true.
And then in the playoffs, 21, and seven of those came on the last play of the game when the game was over. So that would be another one in Rex's side. The Jets in 2011, 30 points. And 37 points.
So we're okay the first one that year, Fred.
2012, 29 points in overtime, 49 points in the second game.
Okay, that year.
2013, both of them were low-scoring games, 13 and 27
so,
in overtime.
So the first game in the meeting, more often than not, has been a low-scoring game.
Yes. Yes. Now, Rex has given Brady problems.
Interesting.
But he doesn't always give Brady
right.
problems.
No, that's the only thing I was poo-pooing. Brady has good games.
And the other thing is, Rex has typically had a lot more to work with than he does right now. Would you not agree?
Sure.
You know, so to just assume that he's going to give Brady all these fits, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they.
I'm not so much worried about him.
I'm
giving
more worried
Brady
about
fits.
The weather than everything.
I'm worried
than
about
anything
him
else.
Giving the offensive line fits with his defensive front, and right. that in conjunction would give Brady problems
because he does love to use confusion.
Right, you know? And he has talent.
Yeah.
So not only is Muhammad Wilkerson better than Devy or Cannon or
Sheldon Richardson,
they'll do some things.
Copels has come on a little bit, although he's still a disappointment.
How many sacks does he have?
Wilkerson has
a
been Copels? Tremendous.
He's a one-man force.
Yeah, I love him. I wanted to draft him. I was proven right.
I think their linebackers are average, but
see, that's that human laugh track.
He has given Brady problems at times. It doesn't always give Brady problems.
Anthony in Toronto, just wondering what you guys think of LaFell versus Dobson. Who will be here longer and who will have the bigger long-term impact? It might seem obvious to think Dobson, since he has the younger option with the higher draft pick spent on him, but LaFell and Brady are clicking right now, and that's all that matters. Score prediction, Patriots 27, Jets 20.
Certainly trending in the LaFell direction.
I would say that, too, and if I'm not mistaken, it was a three-year deal for LaFell,
yes.
So they have the same amount of time on their contracts. It's not really about the age. If Dobson doesn't start doing something.
And LaFell's young. It was a four-year. He was a four-year free agent, so
right.
He's not that old. He's that's 3 years ahead of Dobson, but I mean, he's not old. The age is not probably going to limit anything he does over that three-year contract he signed. And I got to tell you, he has not dropped it as much as people told us he was going to drop it, and I didn't think he had that run down the sideline in him. I didn't think that was a part of his game.
I go with the second part. I think he has dropped it like people have told
See, I haven't
us.
Seen it since early. I saw it this summer, and I was mocking him.
Oh, he had a bad one against Cincinnati. It was like 40-something to 10
yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, he's still... For the season,
I think everybody has bad drops.
Still,
I can point to Gronk's bad drops.
I think his hands have been questionable, but I agree with you on the second part. I didn't know he had run after catch ability that he's shown in a couple of games. And he made the biggest plays, I thought, against Buffalo. And you might say, and you're right, about the attention that Gronkowski got. But
he should get if this were hockey, Gronk would get a major assist.
I mean, I don't think that all the other guys.
Fine. Still need a guy to be able to take advantage
of
it.
We understand that the creation of the New England Patriots was the result of Rob Gronkowski's birth. We
On
get
the first
it.
Day,
we get it.
God invented Gronk.
But
and on the seventh day, he watched football.
You still have to take advantage of the opportunities that you get, and I think that he did that. And
but just
I didn't
understand
think he had that ability.
You're a complimentary guy.
He is a complimentary guy. What are we talking about? A third option?
What are you talking about?
The emailers are talking about three options. After Gronk and Edelman, it's LaFell as it emerges
sure.
as the third option.
And that's
complimentary.
It's also enough.
You don't
mix in a Vereen and you're fine.
You don't need a fourth, especially if you can
run the ball. Now, they're going down the Fred road. They're not happy. A couple weeks ago, we would have taken a second option. Now we want our fourth option.
Right.
I think we got three, and I'll take it.
And especially if you have Tims now that you can put out there, you have it on film that when he's on the field, you're going to stretch the field. That
Gruden?
Yeah.
This guy
stretches
Tim's
the
guy.
Field. No, but you have it out there. He was out there for how many plays?
I
Eight
call
nine?
Him the
and
curse.
You sent him deep
he
a couple
dooms
times?
Defenses.
This guy.
He always has one of those. But
Tom Brady's like a cyborg out there.
It's really... He's a caricature.
I call him the cyborg. I have no idea why.
No, but like, you have to think of this guy. That's what he is on TV. I have to hand $7 million to, or whatever, if I want to lure him to be my coach. And like, is this the guy that I really?
He's become Frank Calipano doing himself.
Right.
Yeah. What's the guy's name?
Caliendo.
I got it. Frank.
And it's unbelievable how well he does.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but it's so easy.
But he does them all, too. When he just like has a conversation and he just morphs from one voice to the next. Is that what you always wanted to do, Eric?
The voices?
No, just be funny.
Were you a voice comedian?
Oh, you were set up
I
like
was.
A mofo.
I walked into it. I walked into it.
Were you a voice comedian?
Actually, I didn't do that as part of my stand-up.
Which you missed your calling because you're very good at it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I mean, unfortunately, there's probably not a lot of call for being able to impersonate all the guys in the Patriots locker room.
This one I call Aaron Sulkin.
I like to call this Nate Solder.
Who the bleep is Aaron Sulkin, says the guy in the background.
If you Nate Solder, started left tackle, might have heard of him.
Let's go back to the phone.
That's him dealing with hecklers.
Oh, boy. Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Now, that would be funny.
Hey, guys.
Hey, bring some energy.
It's been a while since I called, but I've been listening to y'all. You know, I've been working a lot, so I haven't been able to listen live. I've been so busy. But I agree with Eldridge. I've been sold on Timms ever since the preseason. He seems to be the only one that shows that ability to make plays down the field. Now, I think the reason why he doesn't get as many reps is because he's not familiar with the complex offense, and he isn't on the same page as Brady in terms of being in the right place and running all different kinds of combination of routes. But you still have to have him out there because you do have to open things up. I don't think he could be – I mean, it's still early, but what his skill set has shown, what I've seen, that one-on-one, he's going to make a play on the ball. And I didn't see that from Tompkins and Dobson. Guys that's willing to fight for the ball down the field with a defender draping all over him, he's showing that ability. And I think I'd rather have him out there and sort of get a safety to do double coverage than if we had someone else out there. So that's my point on him. And I was hearing that y'all saying that y'all don't think, you know, having a running back is a big issue. I think it is this coming Thursday, because if the weather is going to be as bad as you say, I think the Jets running backs can be a big issue for us in terms of holding on to the ball, and we're not able to run the ball because that defensive line will get after Brady. I'm looking at this red zone right now, and they're coming after Peyton Manning, and I feel like we're not going to be able to hold off that defensive line for too much longer. But I just want to know what y'all guys take on that.
Yeah, I mean, somebody was telling me on the blog while the Jets were playing the Broncos that early on, the Jets had Peyton running for his life. That's, you know, however they were doing it.
Oh, they can get after it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they have 17 or 19 sacks in six games.
No, eventually, what? I think the Broncos ended up with 31 points.
I mean, the last seven of them were a pick six.
Oh, okay.
Eventually, what?
No, it's just funny. Funny sentence. The last seven were a pick six.
Okay.
But that's, I mean, so no, giving up 24.
Pick seven doesn't sound right.
Giving up 24 points against the Broncos is pretty good.
That's, yeah. You know. And what Manning ended up doing, and I know that I've sort of become a joke among us, but Manning ended up stopped running for his life and started handing the ball off, and that's how they won the game. They scored two touchdowns with long drives at the end of the first half, and that's how they took control of the game. Ronnie Hillman had 100 yards.
Always good to have a running game, Paul.
But that's going to keep the score down. And I'm sure Rex Ryan went into that game saying, much like we talked about with the Patriots last year with no Sean Moreno, if they can keep doing that, we're going to have a chance to outscore them because they're not going to be in the mid to high 30s.
How many points do the Patriots need to score to win this game?
The Jets game?
Yeah.
17,
that's it. That's, yeah, makes
Don't
sense.
Don't you think? I mean, barring turnover, I mean, if the, you know, that whole turnover thing. If
I was
going to
go 22.
If the Jets, you know, can get, you know, a return for touchdown or something like that, or something to set up easy points, well, that number might have to rise. But I can't see the Jets, especially if the weather is – we're talking about the weather just in terms of the Patriots offense.
Right.
What's Geno Smith going to do with it?
Right. Mm. Jules in New York, it became clear to me –
But what's Chris Ivory going to do in it?
I don't know. If that's all you're gearing up to stop, I'm going to guess not much.
Yeah.
I'll take Chris Ivory over Jonas Gray.
Yeah, but they have
but
Brady.
But still, that means low scoring points on both sides. So, you know.
Even if you don't want to really
throw the ball –
You have to play both the run and the pass when you're playing against the Patriots.
Unless you don't
even
have to play
the pass. Even if it's a driving rainstorm.
Unless you don't have to play the pass.
You know you don't have to play the pass if it's a driving rainstorm with Geno Smith.
But they have an athletic quarterback.
Not really.
He's athletic
He's not a big runner.
No, he's not.
He's not known as a runner.
But
he didn't
come
out of college as a runner.
But he can run.
Michael Vick, that's different.
Well, he won't be ready. I mean, a short week, you think Mike Vick's going to be ready? He had a whole week and he couldn't get ready.
He said that wouldn't happen again. So if
he has said a lot of things.
So if you're going to take his words,
he has said he learned
his
lessons in Philadelphia. I mean Atlanta, and he's this better, more professional guy, and opportunities, and blah 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 blah. Yeah,
I think
the only thing he was honest about is saying he should be the starting quarterback because he's not going to try. He wants to be the backup. He's not going to be ready.
Yeah, I think that that was a pile of crap. I think it was an excuse for a pathetic performance. How's that sound? Yeah, I wasn't as prepared as I should have been.
You keep thinking certain things are excuses that I think paint players in worse lights than just not playing well. I think it's embarrassing.
I don't think that they're smart.
To say that.
I don't think a lot of players are smart, but yeah. I think the last thing a player wants to hear is he just ain't any good.
Right.
That's
See,
the last
I'd
resort
much rather
for a player.
Say, I had a bad
I don't
game.
Have the talent.
I had a bad game. Because I don't think anybody immediately says one performance, you're done.
A lot of these guys, the first thing is to find blame
find an excuse.
Else. Find an excuse.
But that's you.
What do you mean?
That's awful to say.
I know it is, but that's,
no, I didn't really pay attention this week.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's their instinct. LaDainian Tomlinson separating himself from the team when he's hurt and feeling bad, and instead of being part of the team, you know, or you know, a lot of players when the team's not bad, when the team's not playing well, they don't want to be associated, so you know, they start saying stuff.
But that doesn't paint them as bad as saying I didn't.
It does
prepare.
Paint them as bad in my book.
But there's nothing that they're going to be able to do to paint themselves in a positive light.
I had a bad game.
He's coming off a horrific.
You know who else had a bad game? Tom Brady. You know who else had a bad game? Like it's okay to have a bad game. Everybody has bad games.
Right.
But if you're not trying, if you're not preparing, if you're not a professional, I can't fix that. I don't want you. Right. You're a terrible, terrible professional.
That's true, but these guys don't think that way.
I agree with you, Fred.
Yeah.
I think the last thing they want
to
do is it's on,
thing to like,
is it's on me.
Know, yeah.
It's on my ability.
Right.
See, the last thing I want to be painted
really,
as is that guy.
I wasn't as engaged as I should have been during the course of the week. And it won't happen again.
Guy gives up a touchdown, falls down. Oh, my groin.
A lot of people complained about Revis doing that in the Meadowlands.
Jules in New York, it became clear to me.
He doesn't do that anymore, though. He's here.
It became clear to me at the tail end of yesterday's show that it's definitely not performance review time at PFW. Seeing as how Paul told his boss, you just make crap up. After you run Brady out of town, maybe Andy could put in a good word for you at EEI. Anyway, on to New
Jersey. I believe Andy's joining EEI. He gets more airtime on the morning show than anybody else.
Right.
Well, they don't have a very good show, so they need to pirate from us and basically get us to fill out three or four segments of that show. I mean, I know it's hard when you have 4 hours to put a good
Are they
good
taking
radio.
Our content? And
oh,
putting
Fred,
it,
they're
really?
Just taking it flat out, playing it. You're All Right has gone big time.
Really?
They're playing right. it. Yep. You made it big time today.
Wow.
They play Pussy.
Andy's Fat Jokes
really?
Have made it to EEI, evidently.
So they played
Calling
Pussy
me fat?
On...
Real Radio. Well,
so then
I don't know if I'll call it Real Radio. EEI.
Then we know it's okay. If
Wow. Because
you know, they're regulated
so much
by
for
the
that,
FCC.
So much for that job that we had lined up for Andy.
They are regulated by out. The FCC, so we now know that
But
Pussy
I know, but aren't they... Haven't they really cut down on being kind of...
Yes.
Controversial?
That's why Andy has
well,
a new
Well, they've
name
been castrated. Castrated Kirk Minahan.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He apologizes for every joke he makes that might be in any way... Edgy.
They got in trouble?
They just sent me a 4-minute chunk of audio that I'll sift through.
Who did?
EEI.
About what?
From this morning.
About.
We're not playing this. We don't need to play this stuff on our show.
And by the way, we don't need to send them anything because we know that they're listening right now. We know they're listening.
No, but we're not.
We know they're listening.
We have enough to talk about without playing other radio stations.
Right, right.
Stuff.
Some little podcast. Some,
me go through
some
the
gum on shoe. Some gum on shoe.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Had to provide content.
I'm the
for
fat
the,
guy that you're rubbing my belly.
Best sports radio show in Boston's Morning Drive.
Wow.
Well, probably
not much
anyway.
To choose from.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Now we're just taking shots at everybody.
Well,
check
I mean,
everywhere.
Let's face it. You know.
You don't like the toucher and the rich.
I don't want. I listen. I have a short commute to begin with, so I don't get to listen to a lot of radio.
I mean, people ask me
I
to be the
to
bigger.
Everything.
They ask me to be the bigger man. I mean, that's obvious. I'm much bigger than Kirk Minahan.
Bigger head.
You wouldn't know by the marathon. I mean, he's a marathoner. The guy weighs like 110 pounds, and he's built like Eric, and yet he finished like 5 minutes ahead of me in the marathon or something. I don't run marathons. He's a marathoner. Runs them all over the country. Oh, I'm going to get one in Buffalo. Going to get one in here. I just decided to run, and almost beat him at about 100 pounds heavier.
Wow.
Do you want to fight him?
No.
It sounds it.
No.
I mean, physically.
No. I know what a fight is. I know. You've explained it to me, and I should have knocked him out. Or Roy Campanella. I knew it would have felt good.
Yeah.
Richie.
Because we can set it up.
He saw
Well, him. I would fight him. Look at him.
Yeah.
I could blow on him, and he'd fall over.
You could do what?
Not blow him.
Oh.
I wouldn't want my tongue to taste like. Those are the kinds of things he used to say before he was castrated. Now he can't say anything. He makes like a lame Pope joke, and he's, I'm not really making fun of the Pope. I just want everybody to know it's a joke. I don't want to be suspended.
I'm in the car all the time. I listen to
that
all the shows.
That must stink to, like, be, what is he? He's the Flash guy, right? On the team.
Yeah, he's kind of the third man in.
Yeah, so, like, obviously he's there for comedy, right?
Right.
He's there for the comic relief, and you can't even be yourself.
And he can't do what made him popular and famous.
That must be frustrating to not be able to do what you do.
He's a frustrated human being in a lot of ways.
Can I go on a little
tangent? Barely named in the show. I mean, it's Dennis and Callahan, and people know. Oh, who's that other guy? Miniman? Isn't that what you call Miniman?
Miniman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's Miniman.
Right.
They don't know his name. It's Kurt. It's Kurt Miniman. It's Kurt. I mean, nobody even really knows.
Kurt.
They know he's the guy that throws used to throw bombs before his testicles got taken by Kevin Graham.
Boy, that really escalated.
Well, I'm just... No, but it must be... It's like Bill Simmons. But,
and I like how he pulls out the old Kobe Bryant. Is it Andy Hart? Is it... Do I know that guy? Yes, you know me. We've met plenty of times. You know who I am. You've obviously seen me. You made the line about me rubbing Paul's back and belly in the preseason games. You know who I am. I'm surprised you didn't pull the John Dennis. And I make so much more than him, so I'm so much better than him. My lucrative radio career. Right.
No, you have a lucrative radio career.
Well, he doesn't have a lucrative marathoning career because he's run-of-the-mill like me.
Well, and plus, if he can't do what he does, he's not going to have much of a radio career.
He throws bombs. He analyzes nothing.
So does he
knows very little about any sports.
Does he like cover any? Has he ever had a job covering a team? Or
anything? Nope. He just throws bombs from afar.
So what's his background?
And yet he can't
throw
bombs.
Let's wrap this up.
Anymore.
Food's here.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
See you soon in the early edition, Kurt.
Food's here.
Well, you can't go now.
Can I give you a quick tangent?
Sure.
What is the origins of the Minahan DJ Bean rivalry?
I don't actually know. I think DJ Bean ripped him during one of the controversies. Aaron Andrews, maybe?
No, that's so ridiculous.
Well,
sound like Bill.
Kurt is very sensitive.
Yeah, but
I am not, obviously.
None of us are.
But I mean, it's the perfect example of even the, you know, he made a good point when he's not playing tonsil hockey with Bill. I thought in the old days he would have been more harsh, would have come up with something more creative. But
you were playing tonsil
he's
hockey.
Been, of course. Like they do with Tom Brady, or they do with Rodney Harrison. You know, Minahan pulled the ultimate. Exactly. Minahan pulls the ultimate. Last week or a couple weeks ago, they talked to Rodney, and he waits for Rodney to hang up, and then he's like, well, you know, I was gonna go after him about HGH and his experience. You know, well, why didn't you?
Right.
Why didn't you? You had him on the phone. You're Mr. Big Ball. Oh, wait, you don't
have
the big
balls
anymore.
If you have a regular guest, what's wrong with, you know, joking around with him a little bit?
Well, I'm not sure that's a joke when you say, Rodney, you cheated.
No. But
that's what he said he was going to go
Mayo
after.
Mayo here and Edelman and...
Right. Jim, I asked him, I said, you don't make plays. Can you talk about it?
Right. So...
Yeah, but that's what Gum does. Gum comes up big when it needs to.
Well,
Minahan doesn't. Comes up little.
Yeah, you asked him as you were rubbing his back, though, and playing tonsil hockey.
No, it's your belly that I rub.
That's only on the...
You know, that was a fat joke from him. Are you okay with that?
Do you get think?
You okay with that?
Do you get three wishes?
It is what it is.
That?
I'm fat. What am I going to do? Say, nah, it wasn't really fat?
You could probably beat him in a marathon, though. I mean, he's run-of-the-mill 4 hours and change marathon.
As I'm eating my french fries, I don't think I could beat him.
I think you
marathon.
Could.
All right. Food is here, so we're going to take a break. We come back. We got Jay on the line, Mike, Malachi. We'll get to all your emails and calls in a moment.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Here's another great moment in PFW in progress history.
I got the dogs coming up. I have a new primary because my old one changed. And I had sort of an arrangement with my old doctor, you know.
Don't ask, don't tell.
You know, yeah, you know, like my cholesterol probably could use a little help. You know, and it's like, Paul, you really need to, you know, you need to lose a few pounds. And we had this sort of arrangement. We're okay with that. She knew that I wasn't really going to try to lose a whole lot of weight. But, you know, as long as I, you know, sort of pretended to make an effort.
Yeah.
Now I got to see a different doctor today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm afraid I'm going to get read the riot act.
She's going to say, your BMI is 72, sir.
Really? Based on our calculations here, you should be dead.
Right.
That's what I'm a little worried
about.
Your
blood diet Pepsi levels are all off.
Yes.
Right.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I hope you make it.
All right. Goodbye, Paul. Let's finish up. Yep. This is it. This could be it.
It was a privilege knowing you, Paul.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that? But it's funny, sort of, but like...
It's not real.
The whole thing in medicine is they want to catch things early.
Right!
He's got kids now.
He could find out that had they actually looked, he was dying 10 years ago.
Right.
Now he's got 3 months.
No, like, yeah, I agree.
They kind of know I'm not going to try to do anything.
And isn't his wife a nurse?
Yes!
Yeah, she should be pushing
yes.
him.
Yes.
I would be like,
I don't think she wants to know either.
No,
I would add stress to her.
I would be strapping him down and wheeling him in to try to.
She's given up. It used to be every February she would put him on some sort of diet, but she gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just do like a very unofficial survey, like you go to a nursing home,
yeah,
there are no fat men in nursing homes.
No, I agree with you.
It's just not. You don't see fat old men.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Finish this the right way. 21-gun salute for Paul.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're getting ready for the Jets Thursday night game. I really don't like Thursday night football. I don't like it. I mean,
join the club.
I don't even like Thanksgiving.
Oh, come on.
I like the two games in the afternoon, but I don't like the night game on Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
You know what
I'm
I mean?
With you there, yeah.
You know? We just don't need it.
The tradition was Detroit and Dallas.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Don't mess with tradition.
So, and you know what? I hear what you're saying there. It's not even about tradition for me. It's just common sense. It just we don't need it.
Unless you can find a way to make it work with buys and stuff, I don't like the short week.
This is a perfect example of how, you know, I think both teams would probably rather not be playing this game, you know? Oh, for God, what are you doing?
I shut my mic off.
You can,
we can still hear it.
My God. All right.
I even put it in my shoulder.
Let's get back to the phone calls at 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll start with... let's go with Jeff in Vegas, who bought us lunch. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the lunch. That was very tasty and much appreciated.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. The sky is a little bit bluer. The birds are chirping, and money is plentiful.
Well done.
And what was it that Tom Brady said on EEI the other day? Did he say, like, playing, it was fun? They were having fun now, winning and having fun. It doesn't get any better than that, and winning a little cash as well.
So you cleaned up, huh?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Andy. It's been a tricky week, but I think it's 9.5 tomorrow night. I disagree with you guys, no offense, as a fan. I love having the two games in 5 days. It's like a holiday. It's like Christmas and New Year's.
Well, yeah, if it's your sole source of revenue, then yeah. But you said 9.5 is the line?
Yeah
that sounds right.
Is that a little high with the weather and all that stuff?
Yeah, it could be. It's just same thing, division game. I mean, typically, like, I know New England, the numbers aren't great as a heavy home underdog or heavy home favorite to really cover. They cover, like, less than half the time. So probably like New England, but just like a smaller play.
Right.
And it's all about money management. Ultimately, you have no idea what's going to happen. You just have to I use a little bit of hyperbole when I sign betting the kids' college funds, but all you can control is the money management end of it because you have no idea. Even Belichick and Brady don't really know what's going
to
happen.
Sure. Absolutely. So you have to hedge your bets.
Exactly, guys. So I'll keep it short and sweet. Enjoy the food. And one shout-out, speaking of having fun, you know, that Twitter feed during the game is a lot of fun. I guess the only thing I can really pimp out is my Twitter handle, @JeffVegas12. Andy, Jeff, and you know, it's a lot of fun during the game to live tweet. And we'll be doing it hard and heavy tomorrow night. Go New England.
All right, Jeff in Vegas, thanks for the lunch.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep. You buy us lunch, we'll let you talk about your Twitter handle, right? That's only fair.
Yeah, I didn't hear that comment by Brady on EEI. I guess I couldn't hear it over the... the host trying to grab at Brady's chest and rub his belly.
Right.
Well, they were slurping.
Right.
That's what I was actually thinking. I was trying to be a little less crude, but, you know, I think Andy's right.
I haven't been castrated
yet. I was going to say something, but I can't.
My boss is right here, and he hasn't castrated me yet like Minahan.
Yeah. Matter of fact, he was encouraging you to go and assault him.
He actually wants me to beat up Kurt Miniman.
Well, I like physical confrontation.
I know.
There's nothing wrong.
Why don't you beat him
up? Have you ever been in a fight, Andy?
Not for a long time.
Yeah, I got...
Long.
You don't look like the kind of guy that would get into fights, actually. Believe it or
not. I actually try not to.
Wait, what?
No. Believe it or not, I think he'd shy away. I think he's kind of a punani when it comes to fights.
Not a... You made Kevin laugh out loud with that. Well, I... Because I'm so strong... I'm fearful that I'm going to be that stupid guy who throws one punch, hits the guy in the temple, he goes down and dies or something, and I'm like, my whole life goes down the crapper.
What are you, the Hulk?
If I were a sissy like Minahan, I'd be throwing punches left to right. There's not going to be any repercussions.
That's true. It's like you watch those lightweights when they box, and
right.
They're just pummeling each other, and they go for 13 rounds, 12 rounds.
And in general, people I don't know, that also bothers me. In this day and age of all this MMA and people think they're little fighters... You never know which guy in the bar looks like Eric, but
right.
Could kill you.
Right. That's true. That's true, because there is a newfound form of fighting now.
Right. They're grapplers. They know jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, whatever, and all of a sudden I'm dead.
Yep.
But no, I haven't been in a. I got into a few college mini scuffles things,
like brawls.
Well, I was in a brawl in high school, but yeah. Even that, I didn't really throw punches. I was kind of just pulling people off the people that were getting beat up,
right?
Because you know, I was so strong, no one would approach me.
Stop. Do you imagine he came up with those reasons or the reasons why he doesn't fight?
Right. That's why the brawl started. He doesn't
go
around
saying how strong he was, and people are like, oh, yeah?
You never know a guy who's trained in a way to kill you.
Right.
And he's fearful that he's so strong he's going to kill somebody.
Oh, in Factor B is a lot of times when I go out and get drunk, and let's be honest, when you go out and get drunk is generally when you get into fights.
And we
usually have Vic with me.
Yeah. Oh.
and you know, he's 6'4", 275 with a bald head and looks like he'd kill you. So most people are like, oh, you're with that guy.
Okay.
So. That's probably the real reason. The other two were just good stories.
All right, let's go to the phones. Mike is in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, just let you guys know, Jets suck.
That's true.
Right? Garbage.
We know that. Yep.
Yeah. Geno Smith, man. I could just hold my breath, but he's garbage. Bottom barrel garbage. Trash. All right, I don't
kind
like
agree
the guy.
You need to be calling the New York stations with this, because we're on the same page.
I know, man, I know. But, you know, a lot of people are calling in about Timbs and stuff. Yeah, I like Timbs. He got down the field. But I do like Brandon LaFell's physicality. He's very physical. He gets on the same page as Brady. You know, he's learning the offense. He's trying hard, you know. You can see the progression.
Yep.
You know, and if a guy's trying to fight for a roster spot like that, let him have it. Obviously, Dawson ain't fighting.
Yep.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Amendola.
Yep.
Amendola's just sitting there just watching everybody catch balls and take his roster spot. Then you know what? You should be traded. You should be, get out of here. You ain't fighting.
Yeah. Something's up with him. I don't know what
can
deal.
Can I ask a question though? And I'm being serious. How do we know that?
Yeah.
How do you know Amendola's not working just as hard as Brian Timbs in practice?
But something's up.
He played more than Timbs did.
Man,
I mean, I don't mean to disrupt you, but he played twice as many snaps on Sunday as Timbs did. Now, if he wasn't trying and wasn't putting an effort in, why would Bill be putting him in the game?
Right. We don't know.
Like, I just think
go give Brady a hug. I don't know. Yeah, he ain't doing
nothing. My point that I'm trying to make is, we can say that Amendola is a disappointment. I'll be at the head of the class. I didn't like the signing to begin with. But I'm not ready to say that he's a disappointment because he's not putting the work in. He's not trying. He's not fighting for his
playing
time.
It seems to me like
well,
time.
It's also, you can't blame him for
he
not
fighting.
Get,
he you, ain't got the what, goddamn.
No. That's what I'm asking you. What evidence do you have that he's not fighting? He's not
he's
catching
not
passes.
Well, Mike is just saying.
He is on the field.
He is.
He's on the field more than the guy that you're crediting for fighting.
Well, he ain't making no damn plays neither.
Well, yeah, and Tim's made one.
It's hard for him to make plays when
no,
the ball
I'm not
isn't.
Tim, let's talk about Brandon LaFell fighting. Brandon LaFell's fighting his ass off to get on that field. And
I agree. LaFell's played better than him. Now,
Mike,
he's also playing in a different spot than Amendola is.
From what we know, effort isn't Amendola's issue. It's yeah. something else. I don't know what it is.
That's all. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
He is putting in the effort. You
yeah,
know,
and
but.
Michael, I'm not trying to say Amendola should be doing this or that or the other thing. I think I'm with you. I think he's a big disappointment. I really think that this isn't what he signed up for. I think he envisioned himself in the Edelman role. And,
absolutely.
And Edelman took it when he got hurt early last year, and he hasn't given it back. I am not willing to say that Amendola's problem is a lack of effort, a lack of toughness, a lack of heart.
Yeah,
I'm not willing to say that he's not fighting for anything.
It's hard for a wide receiver to make plays when your quarterback isn't throwing you the football. He can't control that.
But the question is why? Why isn't he getting the ball thrown to him? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I don't have an answer.
It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Right.
I pose this idea, though, because everybody says, I don't feel bad for Amendola. Look at the paycheck. 6 million reasons to not feel bad for him. And I said to somebody,
I do kind of feel bad for
him. I bet you he'd give $5 million back right now to get the hell out of here. I think this is absolutely miserable for him. I think this has been a Carl Crawford-like just misery. That from the injury thing,
I don't
straight
know if he'd
on
give $5 million back.
I think he would. I think he'd hand $5 million today to go be a everyday player in somewhere. Maybe not like Oakland, but in like 25 other cities. I think he'd pay you $5 million. Just let me go.
Yeah.
I think he would. I think this is misery for him. I think he is an unhappy human being right now.
How can
I think
he be pleased with what's going on with him personally?
Right.
How could you be?
So I think everybody that says, well, you know, look at his paycheck, I think he'd give it back.
Bill has kind of called him out and said he's done some good things downfield with blocking and things like that, but that's not what makes your day. You're a wide receiver.
It's also not why you pay a receiver $30
million.
True.
And, you know, what I'm saying is I don't think that that's much consolation to someone like Amendola. I think the guy's good. I still do.
I think he has talent.
I do, too. I just don't know what's going on. You know, how do you get 10 targets and not one of them is Amendola? I don't understand that. I don't get it. You know?
That's a question you have to ask Brady and put him with the truth serum.
Right. Right.
Hold him down. You know, like they do every Monday on the morning show on EEI when they just badger him with questions.
They're tough on Brady.
They are.
They're really tough on
him. They really hold his feet.
They don't grab ass.
They really hold his feet to the fire.
Right. Yeah, while massaging them. It's weird.
Yeah.
Sucking on them like Rex Ryan.
I heard Brady like dreads calling into that.
Right,
because of the way he gets
hammered. Because it is weird to have three guys on your jock at once.
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable.
What's that like, Andy?
How do they
What?
How do they all think? Because it feels like he always calls in from the car, like on his way to the stadium. Like I just wonder how they all fit under the steering wheel.
Right.
I mean, that's a crowded spot.
Yeah.
I just made Paul laugh out loud.
All right. Let's go to Brockton, where Malachi's on the line. Hey, Malachi.
Good afternoon, y'all.
Good afternoon.
Are you related to Jamiroquai?
No. Rex Ryan, you know, he's talking about how they're desperate for a win. So, you know, be prepared, you know, for their A game tomorrow. But, you know, the loss to Gerard Mayo, you know, he was the quarterback of our defense. So, you know, he was the guy that cornered that, you know, sort of kind of got people on the same page and stuff. So, you know, we're still third, you know, against the pass. So, you know, I think we'll be all right, you know. Plus, you know, Darrell Revis is back. But, you know, my prediction for tomorrow, I say, you know, 21-10. I say, you know, Geno continues to struggle. He may even throw a pick or two, you know, and, you know, we walk away with the win.
Yep, that makes sense.
Guys. Sounds like a plan.
Thanks,
Malachi.
Yep.
I feel like we should check in now or every week. Revis matchup? You're going to man up with Decker?
I don't think it matters, right?
Well, if Decker were healthy, I would say, yeah, it would matter. But I'm not sure that he's worth it. You know, he's really battling that hamstring.
You know, with Browner back in, maybe you do go to, I'll take this side, you take that side kind of thing.
Oh, because we have to bow down to Browner.
No, I don't know.
I am looking forward to seeing Browner play.
Me too.
Freddie, it's a good point you bring up, though. I would much rather the defense be dictated on Darrell Revis than Brandon Browner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
You're right.
But most people would, not named Ben Volen.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, Andy Paul snark aside.
Ben Volen had a long-standing summer theory that you just couldn't match Revis up. He has to play left. Browner has to play right because Browner can't do anything else, and you have to utilize Browner. And I was like, that just seems so flawed to bend over backwards for the lesser player.
Yeah, you bend over backwards for the
stud.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if Gronkowski wants to do X, but LaFell can only do Y, and I'm not using football terminology here, then I'm doing X, and Y needs to fit in. I'm not bending over backwards so that LaFell fits in.
Exactly.
There are...
Why not just go with a YY?
Got a lot of YY.
Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Tomorrow, it's going to be raining from what I heard you guys say on yesterday.
That's sounds like I heard one local weather station say
every time I hear it,
car
it
wash.
Worse and worse.
Oh yeah pretty soon it'll be an arc.
Yeah, like last weekend it was supposed to be 50% chance of rain. Now it's like you said,
100% chance.
Good news is Bass
rain.
Pros got all those boats, so if they float over, we'll just jump in one of them.
Okay, well check these out. Last year it rained in that game. I remember Geno Smith making big plays in the rain. He made some big throws, but he also started screwing up towards the end. I think he threw three interceptions.
Yep. All in the fourth quarter. You're right.
So hopefully,
you're right. He didn't play awful in that game until the end.
But also another factor will be wind. And I'm hearing 18 to 30 mile an hour wind. So,
wow.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest, guys. Yeah. I'm hoping that, you know, we could work on the ground game a lot. And I think that, you know, that's going to play in our favor. Like we need to really, if it's raining like that, hopefully, you know, we can get the ground game going. And I really would love to see Jonas Gray installed in the offense. If not this week, you know.
So does Fred.
Hopefully next week, yes. Because he's the big punch that I think we need, man. And I think he can give it to us.
Well, we'll see.
I think he can give us that punch that we need. I'm not high on James White because, I mean, we got a little scat back already, man. I just feel the need to ask for punch.
Yeah, I like Gray. Thanks for the call, Trey. From what I saw, with Gray. He's a bigger guy, but he still has some good quickness and burst to the line. He seems pretty decisive. I want to give him a shot. You know?
I'm all for giving him a shot.
3.8.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the stuff that you're talking about, but I'm all for giving
him
a shot.
Well, I watched the preseason. So.
I know that I wasn't there like
you. I wasn't getting my belly rubbed.
But I was in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, and I was watching.
Eric and I were at the game.
I didn't necessarily see the quickness, especially, that you're talking about.
Yeah, you have no idea what went on.
I thought he was more of a plotter, to be honest with you. And I think that one of the things that you might be really – he had a long run that got called back. That was I think you're sort of –
I think he pulled an Andy,
yeah,
and he picks like one thing, and it's in his head, and he's going with this guy's good.
But you're also going by training camp practices, preseason.
He did nothing on the practice.
Yeah, no, it was in the game.
You were just talking about the games?
You're going by his arms.
Yeah.
You like his arms. You've moved on from thighs, and you're into
arms. Project.
I like arms. I've never said I don't like arms.
So stick
from
yourself.
Robert Turbin to that linebacker out of Louisville that I can't remember his name now, to Harold Nash, to Kenoris Davis, big guns impress me.
Right, especially when they're touching you. let's go to Cody in Nova Scotia. Hey, Cody.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Love the show. Listen to it all the time when I'm at work. I actually started listening to the... like working my way back up through all your old shows, and I must say, I love the old arguments between Fred and Felger.
Oh yeah, those were
legend.
Man, I was on the floor rolling around in my office laughing so hard.
Well, those got personal. Those were like those really escalated.
Well, Felger always ends up Felger always ends up calling you a liar,
right.
And someone a pedophile. You know,
and every opinion that we have. Whether any of us is always because of where we work,
right?
And that's when it gets personal.
Well, we're propagandists,
right?
Right.
Okay. I can't understand what's going on with Stolter though. Like it's almost like he lost his confidence or something.
I'm still going with he's hurt.
Okay.
I think I've seen him be better than this.
Yeah.
So, and I've used the example the penalties. We saw penalties from Menkins when he was hurt. Wouldn't it make sense if this guy like has a back injury? Like, you know how back injuries can be, and it hurts to do anything.
Well, but what so I why saw is he on not Sunday on the injury report? It didn't have anything to do with a back. It had to do with just not doing the right thing. Like
that was the first time that it wasn't just a physical mismatch.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He blocked the wrong guy.
Right, but that happens. I just and I'm not going to say make it all excuse, but when you're in pain sometimes, your concentration
That's
hurt.
True.
I've seen him be better than this.
Sure.
He doesn't look hurt, though. Like, when we see him walking around the locker room, he doesn't appear to be a guy who's hurting.
I'm not dismissing it, but I don't think he's hurt.
So he stinks.
He's having a bad stretch.
Again, you take... Right. Like, you're very Felger-like. You take little facts... And you make these, like, grandiose statements about the... Yes, he's not playing well. Doesn't mean he stinks. Not the same thing.
How many games in a row do you play poorly until you stink?
I don't know the
Does it have to equate to the number of games he played previously?
Has he played
that was
poorly
good?
In every game?
I think he's been pretty bad consistently all year.
Phases of
every game have been bad.
I would say as a rule, as a whole, that's probably accurate. But I don't think he's been bad in every single game.
And I will continue to say, I've gone from assuming they were going to re-sign him to a $40 million plus contract to, do you need to cut him before next spring so you're not on the hook for 7.5?
That'll be an interesting thing come the
$7.5 million becomes guaranteed on the first day of the new league year. He will make more than Tom Brady.
Do you think any of it has to do with the coaching he's getting?
Could be. Could be the guy next to him. Could be an injury.
Yep.
But it's got to be something.
But you think it's just because he stinks.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah.
No, No.
You're Paul Perillo of left tackles.
No, I made an excuse for him. I said he's hurt.
No, but
he does not stink. He's got a back injury.
But if he's not hurt, then he just stinks.
Right.
And
How long do I go with until he's not good? Well, you know, we could pretend like Devin McCourty for two straight years that he can still be a good corner before we realize he has to be a safety because he stinks at corner. Or I can say, a half a season in or a full season in, he doesn't look very good at left tackle anymore.
Well, when they move Soldier to safety, we'll know.
Fred's having a good show.
He's having a good show. I think rivalries and
brings out the best in him.
Just ask Richie Campanelli.
Animosity.
Let's Campanella. Go to Kadir in Pennsylvania. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
Yes, it's correct. Yes, you did it right.
Thank you.
And one of my questions is, why is it a big problem that we lost around Mayo? I mean, we recently lost Wolfbrook in Mayo, and we still made it to the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
We got blown out, but we still made it there. So why is that a big problem?
It may not be a big problem, but you got to factor in Hightower not being 100% right now. Right. But they could overcome this. But remember, I think they had a little bit more depth last year at linebacker. Spikes was still on the team. You know, Fletcher, for what he was worth, was still around, and you know he could throw it. Right now, they're pretty thin at linebacker.
Yes. And another thing, is Brandon Browner going to get week six? He had a 4-game suspension. Is he going
to? He is going to be active this weekend.
It looks like he's going to play tomorrow night.
Yep.
Based on the way he sounded yesterday in the locker room, I'd be surprised if he wasn't active.
Yep. So you'll see your Brandon Browner.
Yeah.
That's good.
That may be good.
Thanks, Kadir.
I wouldn't.
I'm really anxious to see him play.
Yeah.
Because I want to see if. You know, I was reading something today in one of the papers, and I would like to rip the guy, but I can't remember which paper it was in. Sort of broaching the possibility that he wasn't always used the way he wants to play in the preseason. He wasn't used in press coverage, you know, that physical on-the-line press coverage all the time, and maybe it was because they didn't want to have him playing like that, and they didn't want to show everybody that, knowing what he can do. I don't buy that at all. I think that he didn't play well this summer. But let's see if he's just a veteran who, you know, works on things. You know, kind of like spring training in baseball. You never judge veterans off of what they do in spring training in baseball because you never know what they're doing. And maybe Browner was just out there, you know, trying different things, trying different techniques, seeing what he had. I don't think he played well in the summer.
No.
I don't know if that means he won't play well in the fall now, but I'm really anxious to see him play.
Luke writes in, here's a suggestion about a lineup, and I'd like to know your thoughts on it. If Salinga comes back, and I hope he does, I'd propose a three-man front. Wilfork, Easley, Salinga at middle linebacker, Hightower and Ninkovich, Chandler Jones and Collins at outside. What are your thoughts?
Ninkovich isn't going inside. Well, I shouldn't say isn't. I wouldn't put Ninkovich inside.
It would be a little surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen no real evidence of that, but... He's also Mike Vrabel 2.0, and Mike Vrabel went inside.
2005, Mike Vrabel went inside.
Hated it.
He has
bitched about it every day.
He has the body type for it.
I mean, and he's athletic enough to probably do a lot of different things. I mean, he's obviously physical and stout. He plays end. He moves around in space a little bit.
I don't think that's his best spot for him.
He's never done. It would be such a drastic change from anything we've seen him do. But in an emergency situation... I'd have no problem if it
was MacGyver and he had someone's got to fill the role. Yeah, he would be on my list of guys that I would say I'd rather have him out of position than somebody else out of position because I think he could handle it.
And Luke has another point. He says Amendola is really a slot receiver and it's hard for him to be a second slot receiver on the field, especially since he's Brady's fourth target.
It's Paul's argument.
I mean, admittedly, I feel like I'm making excuses for him, but Andy, you made a point earlier in the show about Amendola. Like, you don't think he stinks. And right now, everybody is like, oh, what a bust this guy is. He stinks. He can't play. He can't do this and that. I think he has NFL ability. Just because I didn't want to sign him to a $31 million contract doesn't mean I thought he stunk and he couldn't play at all. I just thought he was a little overvalued and overrated. This is not – he's a better player than this, that he's not even getting a sniff of the football every week.
Mike is in Erie, Pennsylvania, and he wants to know why the Patriots and Buffalo game was on Fox last week. He never remembers two AFC teams being on Fox.
It's because it never happened before.
Right.
Good memory.
First time.
Yeah. They have this new thing called CrossFlex, and it's...
it's a workout.
Yeah, they changed the whole flex system, but one of the things they added was now that CBS and Fox could look at the games and the league could kind of balance out the games so that one broadcasting network didn't have
a preponderance of
good matchups. Right.
Wasn't this the second time it happened to us, though? Didn't we have a
not this way, no.
No.
Road? We had a road game at an NFC team that became a Fox game.
I think you're right.
And that's supposed to be a CBS game.
But that wasn't for – that
was
a part of this.
Slightly different rule or whatever, but it was to balance.
But wasn't there a logistical thing that
they
CBS
did it
because do
I believe
it was
the
a numbers thing.
I believe what happened was they flexed a game to the night game that was on a network that didn't have any games that week,
right?
And they moved one over from CBS to Fox,
right?
Just so Fox had some games.
So it broke the tradition of generally
okay.
The away team is the network,
right.
If it's NFC, AFC.
Right.
But this was a case where the away team was CBS, ABC, and yet Fox did it, right?
It was like the Minnesota game this year was a CBS game.
Right, and they made it. It wasn't a huge deal. It was, I guess not revolutionary.
And they made
like
it a Fox
one,
game.
Yeah.
And
but
I
that
do,
could
I
have been
recall.
Sort of the, you know, genesis of, hey, you know, we should probably look at that.
Well, that you know, that goes into the thought process of what games they flex.
Yeah,
that's why like everybody looks at it and they says, "Oh, that well, they're definitely gonna they're gonna flex the Patriots Broncos game and make that a night game." And sometimes they don't because they want to have that balance for the regular networks. Because all the broadcast partners are important. You know, it's not just get the best game on NBC. They want to take care of CBS
and
Fox too,
and they can pull back a couple games a year.
They can protect games.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it.
Alex from Somerset, I think everyone is rushing to conclusions with Browner, especially Andy.
What did I do?
Who doesn't even seem to want him on the team anymore.
I never said that.
He didn't have a good training camp because he couldn't be physical, which is what his game is based on.
He was
around.
Physical as anybody.
Why can't you be physical?
He will add a physical presence even if his coverage isn't the best. Just ask Welker, who probably can't even remember that game. I also watched some film of him matched up with Fitzgerald and Brandon Marshall, and he hadn't looked bad. 10 interceptions in 30-something games. He's a playmaker. Also, Dennard seems to be the one
how
always getting...
How many picks Logan Ryan have?
What's that?
Six interceptions in what?
You're right. He's on a better pace.
20 games?
He's on a better pace.
Dennard seems to be the one always getting burned and torched for TDs and completions, but all I've heard is Andy say that he is better than Browner.
I've never said that for sure. I said I want to see Browner on the – you don't listen very – who's this?
Alex from Somerset.
Once again, Alex, Andy taking criticism very, very well.
He doesn't have ears.
I'm not saying Browner is the key to the defense, but let's not judge a player who hits hard and borderline dirty to make plays off his training camp. Hopefully Thursday will answer a lot of these questions.
See, you don't listen, Alex. You need to go get a Q-tip, stick it in your ear, and get the wax out
but
so you can
hear. But I think you can certainly get more of an idea from a cornerback in training camp than you can from, say, a linebacker.
And to say he wasn't physical proves that Alex didn't come to camp practices at all. Proves he knows nothing of which he speaks.
Oh.
Or read the
or read the updates, right, or watch videos or anything. And secondly, he just doesn't listen to what I said. I said I was sick of talking about Browner and the idea of him. I want to see him get on the field and show me what he is with – and I'm done spending all this time as debating where he should play, who he should line up against, what we have to do to the defense, because all I saw wasn't very good, and I'm not willing to invest more time in that idea until I see him play. I have doubts about him. Yes, I have doubts about him.
Do you know how many yards Tom Brady threw for in that game in Seattle that everybody credits Brandon Browner for killing Wes Welker?
293.
395.
Wow.
You were off by 100.
I know there was a 90 in there.
Carry on.
Okay.
Oh, you're done now? What did Welker have?
I don't know because Welker's not in this book anymore.
John at South Carolina. We've raced him from Patriots history. Glad to see Eric didn't have to be by later. Amendola would have many more catches if Edelman was not playing. We simply don't need two Welkers on the field. Brady has thrown the ball to Amendola. He gets one or two throws every game. He either drops them or there's a penalty. Mm. That is not a negative reflection on him. There has been some freaky coincidences to have so many penalties on his catches.
Yeah.
We paid for Amendola before we knew what we had in Edelman. If you look at it, Amendola was targeted heavily in the first game. 6 targets, 2 incompletes, 1 penalty. Since then, he has had 2 targets in every game except KC. In every game, he had a penalty. Tim's played this week. He had 2 targets, and Amendola had none. I just believe Amendola cannot be an outside receiver like the Patriots thought he could. Maybe that's the injury, maybe not. However, I just think Edelman is better inside than Amendola.
Well, you kind of crossed up your argument there. You said they signed him to be Amendola before he was, I mean, Edelman before he was Edelman, and then you said that he can't play outside where they thought he could play. I don't know why they signed him. My guess is they signed him to be the Welker replacement, like Robert Kraft said. Uh-huh. He was plan B, and then Edelman got healthy. Stayed healthy, mm-hmm. made plays, had a better relationship with Brady. That took off, and it sort of just left Amendola in the wake. But I also don't understand this whole theory where you couldn't possibly have two guys on the field if they're both skilled because they have some replication of size or preferential lineup.
Yeah, I agree with the majority of that email in terms of the outside stuff, and obviously I've talked about the slot stuff. I don't know how he would be doing if he was the guy in the slot. I don't know if he would be doing what Edelman's doing. We just never really got, you know, beyond that first game, we never really got a chance. And I'll tell you what, the first game was pretty impressive.
Yep.
He was pretty good in that first game. Now, I think, just from watching, I think Edelman has more run after catch ability. I think he's better with the ball in his hands. And I think if Amendola was as good as that, I think they would have him returning punts. Because that would be a good way to sort of preserve Edelman. Like we saw late last year, they kind of pulled back on that a little bit. And Amendola has been a punt returner. Mm-hmm. So if they thought he was as dynamic with the ball in his hands, I think they would allow him to do a little bit more of that. So I think Edelman's the better player with the football. But I'm not convinced that Amendola would not be close to as effective as Edelman in the slot if he had the opportunity.
Speaking of receivers, Andrew writes in, what's up with Brandon Lloyd? He's now known as a deep threat wide receiver. Is this the same guy that played in New England?
Now, has he been making a ton of plays or he had one play?
He's made some eye-popping catches.
Well, I know he had an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah, but the week before he had this unbelievably athletic play that
he just jumped.
One of the most overrated things ever. Yeah. You know what he had a knack of?
Being an a-hole?
No.
Making the easy ones look hard and the hard ones look impossible.
No, well, that was not an easy catch. I'm not discrediting him. It was a good catch, and it was incredible athleticism, but he has the knack of having that unbelievable picturesque.
Oh, yeah.
Like, He was floating in the air.
Yeah.
He was in Denver, I believe, picture of the year.
No, that was Buffalo.
Yeah. He had one in Denver, crossing the center of the field where he laid out like perfectly. And I want to say it won picture of the year when he played for Josh.
As
a Bronco.
While he was with the Broncos.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
I mean, that proves how often because it happened here.
He has an incredible knack for that. I still don't think he's all that good of a receiver, and I don't think he's very consistent. He has incredible athleticism at times. That play at the end of the first half was among the dumbest plays I've ever seen a defense make. I can't recall ever seeing that. A guy getting beaten on that long of a touchdown with that little time left in a half. I mean, you see some breakdown at the end of a game, you know, a fluke Hail Mary. That was a basic double move when they could do nothing else but make a double move.
And Fisher blamed it all on a pass
interference. On a pass interference that cost them. Yeah. They did get screwed on that call.
I tell you, the Bills one was pretty bad, too. On a much lesser level, to allow them to just pick up 6 yards or whatever so that we could kick a shorter field goal.
But I can live with that. I'm not letting him get by me to throw a touchdown. Right. I can live with that, Andy. Yeah. It's frustrating that they did it so quickly and so easily.
He still had a 53-yard field goal.
No, I know.
You know?
But to me, there's a big difference for Steven Gostkowski from 59 to 53.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you go from...
For almost any kicker.
Yeah, but even... I mean,
but
for him,
Tom
that's
Brady
right.
And Julian Edelman. It's hard to stop. Jonathan writes in, I'll be driving...
I think it's more excusable. To let a short little out with that little time left. You can't let him go deep.
No, I know.
Can you imagine giving... I think Deion Branch had one in Chicago that was pretty long at the end of the half. Now, remember that snow game in Chicago the last time?
Oh, yes, right.
And it was a blowout.
Just so you know, all I remember is it was that snow game in Chicago. Okay. The details are gone.
Jonathan writes, I'll be driving down from Montreal for tomorrow's game. I'm going to surprise my eldest son, who's 6 years old, tomorrow morning and tell him he's going to his first game.
Awesome.
I'm expecting a sloppy, low-scoring game due to the weather. Pats will win 24-13.
Awesome that he's going to his first game. Unfortunate that it's going to be what it's going to be.
Dress warm. I don't know how cold. What's the
temperature? It's supposed to be warm, right?
Yeah. Warm and that's why we could get 50s, thunderstorms potential, I think, too, because of the change in
game time.
I'm really worried
like
about
that. Like it's been the last couple
of days. Am I the only one worried about that?
I don't know why it bothers you so much. If you're here an extra 20 minutes or a half hour, you're here an extra 20 minutes or a half hour.
I don't like that.
I'm not getting much sleep anyway.
I know, but I don't want to lose any more than I have to.
Yeah, see, I think it's much more pressing.
What are you worried about?
No.
A delay.
Oh.
Lightning.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, Andy, those delays can be like an hour long, you know?
Yeah.
And Andy doesn't care. I do.
You'll care at the time.
I don't have a date.
You'll care.
All right, it's picks time. It's Wednesday, but we have to do our Thursday picks because it's a Thursday night game.
It's actually Saturday.
And today's Saturday. Mm. Right.
So we missed our picks. We missed the Thursday game because it was Saturday.
So we have to go back
right.
to pick.
So I missed.
Tell me who won.
I think he's on one of those 900 lines.
So I missed the prompt. A very, very good week for all.
There we go.
Freddie.
Sorry, that was an urgent call. That was John Rook saying he's running late, so we don't have to rush.
So should we vamp?
Yeah, we could fill in for him.
Yeah. very good week for everybody. None better than young Eric.
Oh. Old Eric.
Eric's on a little roll.
12-2-1.
Wow. That's big.
The rest of us 11-3-1.
Getting lucky with regularity.
With the spread. Fred and I
picks anyway. Listen, dictators, no one can see your wave.
That's what the pause is.
11-4 for Fred and I with a spread.
That's
ATS.
Big money. Big money.
Eric, 10-5, and Andy, 9-6. So good week for everybody all around.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Season standings as follows. Remaining in the top spot, Eric, 62-28-1.
Now he's the dictator waiver.
Yep. Followed by Andy at 59-31-1.
Wow.
And a tie, Fred and I, I'm sorry, remain tied at 58-32-1.
Okay.
So things are starting to get a little tight.
Tight.
A little tight. Yeah.
That's the way I like it.
ATS, Andy?
ATS, this isn't good for me.
Fred stays at the top at 53-28.
The dictator.
Followed by Eric at 52-39. And then me at 50-41. And Andy. But
across the Mendoza line?
46-45.
Wow.
All four of us above 500 in 6 weeks.
Good.
Is that impressive?
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Why don't you go check the poll and see how they're
We're past the quarter poll. We're approaching them.
Now, I'm going to say something that Paul will refute, but you see those guys in the papers all the time, they're picking the spread. They're never over 500.
I just said that.
Oh. They're also car dealers.
No. The experts.
Like Jim Lazarus and all
that.
So
why aren't we doing this? Well, I know why, but I mean,
why aren't we doing this for money?
No, never mind.
I think that's frowned
upon. I know.
Goodell online, too.
Oh, he's going to come down on me? I can't gamble, but I can beat women?
You know what, though? I think that it's only a matter of time before this gambling starts to become accepted, because I noticed, like, for a while, the sports radio shows didn't have gambling, and now they do, you know, the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the FanDuel and the DraftKings kind of spurring this on. And I think they see the writing on the wall with states passing legalized sports gambling.
It's pretty silly.
It's inevitable. I think it's inevitable.
Don't you think it's pretty silly?
I've always kind of liked Vegas being the only place you could do it. But I just think it's inevitable that states are going to allow it.
But I don't understand it, really.
Like, why you wouldn't?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, why would people who want to do it are doing it everywhere?
Yeah.
Right? And
I'm doing it. A lot of people are doing it.
We've already seen it's not legal, and there's enough scandals of guys getting interacted with the mob or whatever. So I don't really understand.
Yeah. I don't know.
It doesn't feel like you've protected from anything.
And none more heartwarming than the story on the 30 for 30 last week about the Boston College point shaving scandal. Mm. Nothing warms my heart like a BC scandal.
Was there one last night? I forgot to record.
I don't know.
With Mike Mayock,
I think it was
right?
on late. It was the earthquake.
Who
one,
knew Mike
it?
Mayock was involved in the BC series gambling stopped. Scandal?
I'll never forget in the old Foxborough Stadium, I was talking to your guy, Teddy Sarandis, and we were talking about how things could be fixed in sports, and some guy from BZ Radio said, oh, there's no fixing in sports, and then that BC thing happened.
Well, not the basketball one.
No, there was another one. It was a
Good story.
You have to be more specific when you're talking BC point shaving scandals. Right. They've had several.
This is the one in the 90s. I
apologize a thousand times.
So, some kid was running a ring at BC.
Yeah.
Paul was
involved. I'm not going to talk to a jerk like you.
That's how Paul broke into radio. You know. I was losing.
Huge three. Boston College leads 3-2.
I was Wally Pipp.
Knocked it down.
I was Wally Pipp, and Ted Sarandis asked me to be on. And I said, you know, Paul really is the guy that covers the team. And I gave him my spot. And
Had you ever been on?
I never looked back. No.
The original kingmaker. Now he's regretted it ever since.
Is that really how you started in radio?
Yeah.
The first time I was on radio, Ted Sarandis. Actually, the first show I was on was with Gary Tangway on BZ.
Oh, yeah?
But. Sarandis called like during training camp my first year, and you told him to call me, and then I became a regular.
Wow!
So what year was that?
1999.
So Gary Tangway in 1999.
Was at BZ.
Was at BZ and had his own sports radio show?
Yeah, I think it was like a weekly kind of thing. I don't think it was a regular show. I think they did like on weekends they did a talk show, and I was on with Tangway.
All right, we got to hurry.
Yeah.
We don't. The host of the next show is not here.
All right, Eric's going to go solo. We're going to skip over tonight's game, tomorrow night's game, and we'll go to Sunday at 1, Atlanta at Baltimore.
Baltimore by 7.
I don't really trust Baltimore that they are, you know, fixed or great or anything coming off a big win over the Bucks where they rolled to victory, but I certainly don't trust the Falcons on the road, so I'll go Baltimore wins and covers slightly.
I think they will cover fairly easily at home. I don't know if it'll be as much of a blowout as last week, but I do think Atlanta is a disappointment, and the Ravens win and cover.
Yeah, I don't think much of Atlanta, but I will agree with the boys. I'm not sure about the Baltimore team yet. They look good at times.
You're offended by Ravens?
Wait, yeah, no, right.
Sorry, Peter.
No, I mean, I'm not sure about the team.
No, I know. It's funny the way you worded it, given the proximity to the other team in the Beltway.
Yeah, no offense to Edgar Allan Poe.
Blackbirds offend Paul.
I will take the Ravens.
Why they got to be black?
I'm going to take the Ravens to win, but
Ravens are
I think Atlanta is one of those teams that will certain weeks kind of emerge and play well. I think they're going to play a tight.
Do you have their record in front
cover.
Of you? What are they?
2-4.
2-4?
Yeah.
I just made it up, just so you know.
Do you have their record there?
I can look it
All
up.
Right, no, it's not that important. Go ahead, next game.
Minnesota at Buffalo, Sunday at 1. Minnesota
Buffalo by 4.5.
Buffalo by 4.5. Can they bounce back?
Is the Bridgewater playing?
Down?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Bridgewater, your guy, I saw last week, had like 50 yards rushing, 50 yards receiving. The D3,
McKinnon,
whatever.
McKinnon.
Yeah.
One double A. Let's not get mentally irregular.
I'm going to go with the Bills at home.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about it, but it'll get, you know, they won't turn the ball over as much and they'll win.
This is the kind of team I think the Bills are. They'll win one week like they did, you know, in miraculous fashion against Detroit. They'll drop a tough one at home, but this is one they should win. I think they will win, and they'll cover by, I'll say they'll win by 7.
Paul, do both these teams stink?
I think Buffalo might not be in the complete stink category.
Awesome. Bills better than Bears. Okay, I just want to keep a track on this.
I just think the Chicago injuries you're completely dismissing. I don't think Chicago is a stinky team when healthy.
Stinky's a funny word.
But I think you're dismissing the injuries. I will take the Bills here in the biggest game that they will have this year. If they lose this game,
it's over.
Circle the drain.
I'm going to go
talk about
the
circling
Bills
the
as
wagons
well.
In Buffalo. Circle the drain.
I think if they, you know,
they
nobody
have to,
circles
they have
the drain
to win this
like
game.
The Buffalo.
I don't think the like Bills got enough plumber. Credit last week for the pressure they got on. I mean, they got a lot of pressure on Brady, and I think if they do that this week, they'll win the game.
They should. They should win.
Miami at Chicago. Speaking of stinky teams,
Chicago by 3.5.
Oh, a stinky team favored at home by a half point.
Over another stinky team.
Oh, the stinky team that beat your good team, that you're not sure if it's stinky team, middling team, good team.
Just make the pick.
I will take the Bears. The Bears do not stink. They have some decent players.
Yeah.
And I'll take the home team to win.
And cover.
And cover.
I'm with you. I don't believe in the Dolphins, especially. I mean,
that's a heartbreaker last week.
It was, but you know they were at home. I can give them a little credit for that. I don't see them going on the road and doing that in Chicago.
Yeah, and I think that was a stinging loss, and I think it's going to carry over, and I will take Chicago.
Ooh,
as
the
well.
Stinky
Me too.
Bears
I'm
going to
take Chicago as
stinging.
Well.
And
stinging. Sunday at 1, stink. New Orleans at Detroit.
This is a tough one.
Detroit by 3.
Mm. Who are the Lions?
Who's playing?
The Saints
is
and the
Johnson
Lions.
And Bush out again?
I have no idea.
This is a tough one.
Now, I don't like picking the Saints anywhere, certainly not away from home, but it is obviously
it's
another dome.
Dome, yeah.
I'm going to take the Saints. I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to take the Saints. Matthew Stafford's going to turn the ball over, and they just don't have the weapons right now.
I don't trust the Saints.
I mean,
certainly don't trust the Lions, but they've helped us more than they've hurt us so far this year.
Paul,
stick
no
with
one can
them.
See what you're doing.
Right I will stick with them to do this at home again and to cover just barely over the Saints.
Yes, I will be taking the Lions as well. I am not a believer of the Saints, especially away from home. They've
Aints.
Gotten killed whether they're in someone else's dome or not. They're just not playing very good football this year.
Brandon
take
Cooks,
Detroit as
three
well.
Touchdowns.
Sunday at 1, Carolina at Green Bay.
Carolina at Green Bay, pack by 7.
Speaking of gambling, just a little update. That unfortunate bet I made with Bob Neumeier that
Carolina
would have a better record than the Bengals, that I shot for sure he was a big-time guy and would just forget. I walk into Comcast last night. Oh, big one for you last week with the Bengals missing a field goal there, Sonny. And I'm like, oh, this guy's remember. I don't want to take him out to, like, he's a big-time.
Oh, he's a pro.
He's going to order, like, wine and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm screwed.
You are screwed.
I thought for sure he'd forget.
Or he might just come to his senses and say, I don't want to go to dinner with him.
It took away our tiebreaker advantage.
Yeah. They could just stiff him like
you stiffed
me.
Why don't you just give him like a gift card to Chili's or something?
You think he likes the Assembly in Quincy? I got a ton of those from doing some radio.
There you go.
I'm going to say poop. I will take the
Packers.
I know. I know. The Packers over the Panthers at home by 7.
I know. He says.
I remember the game.
No idea.
I'm going to take the Packers. I just, the Panthers on the road, I just, I can't.
Yeah, I agree. I don't trust the Panthers, certainly not at Lambeau.
That would take a leap.
It would. A faith. Yeah. Something tells me, though, that it might be a closer game, so I'll take the points, Paul.
I thought about it, but I'm going to lay the points at home. The Pack, their offense is a little bit better at home, and I think they have enough offense here. Neither team been terribly impressive this year, though.
No.
Green Bay, you think everybody stinks.
Well, I don't think either one of these teams stink. I think Green Bay is better than they're playing, though. I mean, I haven't been impressed with them.
It's starting to come on a little bit.
Yeah,
offensively.
I don't know, man.
Carolina's been disappointing.
They were a blink away from losing to Miami.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Green Bay to cover.
Freddie, did you get the update on your Vontaze Burfict?
No.
$25,000 fine, and anything that happens in the future, he will be called into the league office. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Don't ever do it again.
Right.
You know, clean the chalk, the erasers.
I would say if he's involved in something like that again, he's going to get suspended.
I think you should be suspended this time.
I think you're probably right, although I still haven't seen it.
So if you beat up people on the field, you get suspended. Interesting.
That might be why he didn't get suspended.
Ray McDonald.
Cincinnati at Indianapolis. Cincinnati at Indianapolis.
Oh, this is a good one.
Indy by 3.
It's a good one.
I am simply going to pick my Bengals here because I need it for betting purposes with Bob Neumeier. And I'm going to say that Luck, who has thrown a few too many picks, throws a few too many picks, and the Bengals get it done.
What do you have in that bet?
Oh, yeah, no.
You have Carolina.
I was going to say, don't you have?
You have Carolina.
Oh no! I'll take it. Go the other way. Give me Luck. He's great. Bet
my heart. Yeah, I think he's right. Colts at home.
Which time?
The Bengals will.
Oh, you're making fun of Bob Newman?
Sure.
What's wrong with that?
They'll be winning more games than the Panthers.
You know who hates Brandon
exactly
Browner?
How he talks.
Bob Neumeier thinks Brandon Browner is garbage. Like hates him. Thinks he's the most overrated idea, entity, player in the history of ever.
I think he's garbage.
He's laying the points?
Just so you know, you're not very good at
yes,
it.
Yes, I am. I'll take the Colts to win and cover.
Yeah, I'm taking the points, too, because you know what else Andrew Luck throws a few too many of? Touchdowns. 17 of them. I will take the Colts big.
Wow.
Oh,
me too.
I'm taking the Colts.
Didn't you say you're taking the points?
So we're all
on the
Colts.
No, I'm taking the Colts big.
Oh, I thought you said you're taking the points.
Cleveland at Jacksonville.
Hoye.
Cleveland.
Hip, hip, hoye.
Cleveland at Jacksonville. Cleveland by 5.5.
This is a trap. I'm going to assume. I'm going to go with Brian Hoyer. I'm going to go with the Browns, but it's a trap. This is just, it feels dirty. They're not that good, so you assume that they just go on the road and take care of business. Not going to happen. Mike Pettin, I don't trust. Brian Hoyer, I don't trust. This is a 3-pick game for him. Bottom falls out, but I'll take the Browns.
I went against my gut last week and bet against Hoye and the Browns.
Yeah. Won't happen again?
And I went with the worthless hot dogs. It's not going to happen this week. That's for sure. I'm not saying it won't happen again.
You know that
again,
was the right bet last week.
Well, they're not playing Pittsburgh.
18-1, Roethlisberger was
against. Yeah, I know. But I have my dislike for him. So I will take the Browns on the road.
But it doesn't make it
win.
The right bet. You always tell me that the end
you
result
You always tell
not...
me not to go off of what we've seen in the past and only go off what we've seen now. That's what I did. The Steelers were coming off back-to-back horrific performances against Tampa Bay.
Why are you yelling
and
at
someone else who stunk, Jacksonville. And they put up a third horrific performance against Cleveland.
Why is he yelling at
me? I think Kevin Costner's built a good team
because I just
Cleveland.
So you got Cleveland
he's been proven right?
I'll lay the points.
I still got to see the end of that movie.
It's a good movie.
It's not a bad movie.
No.
I agree with Andy about the trap. I'm going to take Cleveland to win the game, but I'll take the 5.5 and think
the
that Jacksonville can put it within a field goal.
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Stormy weather in Jacksonville.
All right. Seattle at St. Louis, Sunday at 1. Odd time for this game.
Seattle
at St. Louis.
Yeah, it's a noontime kickoff over there, right?
But that happens a lot.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, I guess.
Yeah. Seattle by 6.5. Yeah, the game's not in Seattle.
That would be
an odd time.
The nice little story that is whatever the guy's name is
Austin
stupid.
Davis.
This defense will get after him, and they're going to make his day long and not very
couldn't
fun.
Couldn't do anything last week against the 49ers.
Well, he got off to a little start.
He had a great first half.
Yeah.
And then he played like he was an assistant high school coach.
I was very disappointed in the Seahawks at home losing that game to Dallas.
Not only losing, but getting manhandled.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they will go on the road where they – I know they don't always – they're best on the road, but I think they will handle the Rams.
It's kind of a sexist term, no?
What?
Manhandled?
Women can't handle things?
No.
It's a sexist term.
I'm going to take the Seahawks in
Stop
this one, too.
I'm wondering,
when do you really? Get worried about Seattle?
I got something women can handle right here.
Not yet? Not time yet, Craig?
Not time yet.
Okay.
Not time yet.
I'm a little concerned about Seattle. They don't look like they...
They stink, too?
No, they don't stink.
Who in the hell is going to be good?
Why? See, this is another one. Like, when did I say they stink?
Well, you're a know-it-all. You know everything.
Reading their clippings a little bit too...
I just don't think they've played that well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering, at what point is that a concern? I think they win this one.
Not yet. It's not a concern.
Absolutely. Tennessee at Washington.
Would not be
Sunday
in the playoffs as of right now.
Luckily, the playoffs don't start for months.
Tennessee at Washington.
Washington by 5.
Tennessee at Washington.
That's a tough one.
I am going to take Washington to win, but I'll take the points. You know, two bad teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, James Anderson's been getting it done for the Titans, if he is indeed on that team.
If he hasn't, he's not getting it done.
Right. I will also take the Redskins at home
Who's playing quarterback for the Titans?
I assume Charlie Whitehurst. Engineered a big win last week against Jacksonville on a blocked field goal at the buzzer.
And is it still Cousins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, has he been horrific?
But that ponytail is horrific.
I will stick with the Redskins at home to win, but I will also take the points because I don't trust either team.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. I don't think Washington should be favored by 5 over anybody. So I'll take Washington to win, but
they stink.
I'll take the points. They do.
I will take.
They really do.
I'm going to take Tennessee to win this game outright.
Straight up.
Well, they're not favorites. So.
You know what the irony of this whole thing is with Andy busting my balls about stinky teams? He agrees with me. That's your football, Fred. Right. That's football. No one's good.
It's true.
But I have, you know, the balls to say it.
Sorry.
Jeez.
That's just poor to me.
How much is left in that can? You use that every show.
How much is left in the show?
You're not gum on the floor. You're poo on the floor.
poo.
Such a funny word. He said poo. He called the bleep a poo. Let's go to Sunday at 4:05, Kansas City at San Diego.
Chargers by 4. Coming off an awful performance in Oakland.
After Fred dubbed them undoubtedly the best best team in football, right?
Playing the best.
Kevin Collins.
Playing the best. I will take San Diego. Just the Chiefs. Too many injuries. Not good enough. Alex Smith.
They won their Super Bowl. Their season's over. they're in the off season right now.
Very simple. I'll go with Philip.
One week. For those of you who had it in the pool, it was 1 week.
Did you say last week they were the best team in football?
San Diego.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You said that.
But like he was raving about it. Like he was like, you know, I just know. You look at their point differential. You look at that. They're just a good football
team. They are playing well. And you know who agrees with you?
The Wilson-Hart Power Index.
They needed a pick in the end zone to win a game.
Wilson-Hart Power Index told him that weeks before that San Diego was the best, and Fred didn't believe it. He mocked it, and then he got it.
Trent Dilfer was saying that the other night, too. How come we're not talking about the San Diego Chargers?
The man who once said, Paul, you can't win if you lose. He said that on
Dilfer?
That's brilliant.
No, he really said it. And Tom Jackson's just like staring at him like, what did you just say? Like he literally said that. And you know how he does everything very sort of dramatic, like I'm about to deliver this sermon. He literally said, you can't win if you lose.
Kind of like Jaws.
No. And
I watched 150 hours of
Kevin,
tape
can you
just this
can you Google
morning,
that? Can you get that audio?
And I was
for me?
Amazed at what I saw.
What was the spread again?
4. Chargers by 4.
Oh boy, now Kevin's torn.
I know.
He's getting the audio. He doesn't have.
Can
your
you make
audio
a pick?
Ready.
It's gonna be close for a while, but I think in the end, the Chargers win and cover.
Woo! San Diego. Super Chargers. Isn't he supposed to play it before you make the pick?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Well, it's...
Leave him alone.
That makes
I'm
the pick.
I'm going with...
Yes, boop. Right. That makes
right.
the pick.
Right.
Yeah. It's supposed to be simultaneous.
He was kind of torn between two jobs there.
What's he
doing over there?
I told him to get the... I want the audio of Trent Dilfer saying, do you have it? Go.
So, New England can just play... You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win. So if New England can just
play, lose is that
games
from?
In
He's
the
absolutely
NFL
right.
and still win.
I agree.
So if New England can just,
I co-sign.
lose games in the NFL and still win.
And no, this... Tom Jackson's looking at him like,
was that this week?
What the? It was like 2 weeks ago, maybe.
That's the dumbest
and
thing
I've
ever
heard.
And it's
not a like low level thing. It was on whatever their show is, Countdown. Or...
Like, I was thinking it was something like, you cannot lose the turnover battle and still win right. in this league, but he forgot to say the turnover battle part. No, that's what he meant to say. That's what he meant to say.
But did he mean...
I don't know.
I don't know.
Did he mean you can't lose games and be considered a winner?
Or maybe you can't lose certain games and still win in this, you know, still win it all in this game.
But none of that's true.
Yeah, we're trying to decipher, yeah. but no.
I would have gone.
I will take the Chargers.
CTE.
I agree with Freddie. The Chargers have played very well.
425, the Giants at Dallas.
Oh. Speaking of teams playing well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cowboys by 5.5.
The Cowboys are just the team to pick because as long as their offensive line is going to play that well, not give let Romo get under pressure, open the holes that are the size of Minahan's you-know-what.
Forehead?
Mother.
Yeah,
then they then
that's,
Murray's going to continue to roll,
yeah. that's,
and
that's
they're going to win, so I'll take the Cowboys.
I will also take the Cowboys at home to win and cover because the Giants are really a putrid team.
I will take Dallas, but I believe they will have a letdown after that win.
That's
last
a big
week.
Win. That's and an impressive win they had. You're right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Huge win.
So no it's one, their Super Bowl?
That's one of those legit, like the Patriots against Cincinnati. You know, no one thought they could do it, and they did it. And it was even more impressive because it was on the road. But I'm going to take the points. Wow. I think Dallas will win the game. I'm going to take the points.
Daniel Fells.
No, because I think they're going to have a letdown, Dallas. I think they'll probably slosh their way through half the
Giants.
Game. And
is he?
Oh, yeah, racking up catches.
Yeah, really? Two catches, 40 yards.
I'm going to go with Giant Dallas both ways. 425, Arizona at Oakland.
Oh, Arizona by 3.5.
Only by 3.5?
On the road.
It's a Carson Palmer game.
But it's Oakland.
Two teams.
Oakland stinks. You told me that.
I agree.
You told me Oakland is below whatever stinks.
So there should be an easy pick. Just make it.
I said Cardinals already. He didn't listen.
3.5? That's all? I think that's what you said.
Eric?
I will also take the road team.
I can have a red back.
Cardinals will win this pretty easily.
Big game.
Tommy Kelly kicking ass and taking
big games. Game for Pauly right here. Big game. Arizona. I need Arizona in this one.
You took him in your knockout.
Knockout.
Big game.
Arizona as well. Sunday night, San Francisco at Denver. Does Denver ever play in the road?
Denver. Like
every week they're
Denver
out.
By 6.5.
Didn't they play in New
I'm
Jersey last
kidding.
Week?
Such a joke.
Jesus, even I didn't take the bait
I
on
know,
that one.
My God.
And I take the bait on every one of those.
My God. Didn't they? Like there is a chance that maybe they do have more than 8.
It's not like they're Alabama and they really do play every game at home.
Freaking knothead.
What's the spread?
6.5.
Who? Yeah, the Niners, you know what? They're not as good. And people predicted this sort of in the offseason, the turmoil, the personnel changes, various things. Now the injuries. There's just a lot going on there. I'm going to take the Broncos at home, win and cover.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think double digits, the Broncos.
Double digits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not ready to write off the Niners, but this is a tough spot. On the road, Denver, Sunday night. I'm going to take the Broncos.
Upset of the week. San Francisco wins
Ooh.
This game. San Francisco wins this game.
I didn't see that coming. Oh, wait. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Still waiting for Peyton Manning to fall off the map, though.
So book it.
Tony Dungy predicting 600 touchdowns.
That was the other part. Rex confused him to the tune of 300-some-odd yards and 3 touchdowns last week.
Right.
Yeah. The demise starts this week.
Oh, tonight.
Oh, okay.
For Peyton Manning.
It could. That's a physical defense. Even the backups in that defense are physical. He could take a hit tonight that ends it.
All right.
Or Sunday night.
And
Sunday
Monday night, yeah. Houston at Pittsburgh.
It takes a hit tonight. Then,
Monday
so
night, Houston at
a
Pittsburgh.
Scandal.
Oh, boy.
Pittsburgh by 3.5.
I missed the
Houston
first
team. JJ Watt. Pittsburgh.
Oh, Houston.
You know, you can watch the game on your phone.
I like the woman. I like her.
Sneaky hot.
Sweater puppies. There's definitely sweater puppies there. Who are the teams?
Houston is at Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, you told me Pittsburgh stinks. I'm taking Houston. I'll go with my Billy O'Briens.
Boy.
Talk about Tomlin being on the hot seat.
Yeah.
He should be.
He should be.
He's a terrible coach.
He should be.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Houston,
he is a terrible
Houston
coach.
Favored?
He
no,
has never.
Pittsburgh's favored by 3.5.
He's never I've never gotten confidence out of him. It's just a weird dynamic of him as that coach because they were successful early on. He's got a Super Bowl ring. I don't feel it. He's not in like the Detroit guy's land where there's nothing there. There's
Jim Caldwell.
Pulse. Caldwell has no pulse. There is no way that he endears any confidence.
He's not actually alive.
After the Buffalo game, I was out in the parking lot waiting to get on the
smoking
bus.
Smoking a cigar with the coaches.
Out comes Schwartz, and he just looks like a dick when he walks. It's just like he's like got this cocky, you know, aura about
him. Did he go over and talk to Bill or anybody?
No.
Oh, you just saw
him. He knows his place.
That didn't get you mad?
Well, I thought that would be okay because they lost.
That's true.
Well, he talked to like
anybody some, carry him off the field?
He talked to some guys that had credentials. They weren't coaches of either team. They were like
Mark Capello.
Memorabilia sellers, for all I know, you know. But he was like kind of like wow. The way he walked, it was just like, oh.
Cock of the walk?
Yeah. You just lost. You just get.
Well, a lot of people say he is, he fancies himself the smartest man in the room at all times.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
I wonder where you learned that.
I don't know, Paul. Tell me.
Houston Cleveland, 95.
Houston at Pittsburgh.
They were setting up Ray Lewis.
I will take the O'Briens on the road as well.
I'm going to take Houston, too, for the upset. Mild upset.
Yep, me too. Houston. All right.
Plus, J.J. Watt.
That means we have no chance to win.
One of the best players in football right
all
now.
All four of us are taking Houston to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. There's no chance of that happening.
But that's good. Then it's even playing field.
Right.
We took steroids.
Now we go back to tomorrow night. So we go back, but actually ahead because it's tomorrow.
Patriots by 9.5.
It's always ahead. We always pick the games.
You're always ahead.
Oh!
9.5.
I just gave you the look like a blank stare.
He don't say nothing. He just gives you that look.
I am going to take the New England Patriots to win. They're the better football team. The weather scares me, makes it a wild card. I mean, the weather you're talking, 30-mile-an-hour winds and car wash rain scares me.
Yeah.
But Geno Smith doesn't, and I think Geno Smith stinks. I think the offense is putrid for them. So Patriots find a way, but given the weather, I got to take the points.
Yeah.
And the close matchups at times in this rivalry, when Paul just read me the numbers early season, the first matchup sometime a little tighter than the last, so I'll take those points.
And, you know, Rex and his Jets are in a corner. They have to fight out of it. Yeah. They're not going to lay down and let the Patriots walk all over them. New England will win, but I agree with Andy. The points, I mean, the weather and that factor of the Jets being 1-5 play a part. It's going to be tough.
That's a smart pick.
Dangerous.
I agree with everything they're saying, and I expect that kind of game. I'm going to take the Patriots, and I'm going to lay the points. I think it's going to be 10. I think it's going to be barely a cover, but I think all the things that Andy and Eric just talked about are going to happen. I think the Jets will come in here and play tough. I just don't feel like they have enough offense. Maybe like 23-13.
Plus, he's been beaten down by a couple
weeks. Oh, and plus, I've lost so many of my possessions. I got my car towed last week by someone in Virginia.
Some guy in law enforcement really
somebody
did threaten.
Somebody in Virginia
threatened to have his car towed.
I picked Buffalo last week.
What? Uh-oh.
I picked Cincinnati the week before. I picked the Patriots to beat Kansas City. I picked the Patriots to beat Miami. So I haven't gotten any Patriots.
I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him.
The only game I got right with the spread with the Patriots was Minnesota. I'm 1-5 against the spread for the Patriots games this year. So I'm going to lay the points and see what happens.
I'm going to lay the points too. But I don't think it'll be the Patriots dominate. I think there's going to be a lot of mistakes. I think there'll probably be a defensive score or two by the Patriots, and I think that's why they'll beat the spread. Not necessarily, you know, the Patriots offense scoring a lot of points. So
I definitely could see myself losing the points late. I could see it being a tight game into the fourth quarter, and then I lose.
Right, because Eric's absolutely right. I mean, the Jets are going to come out like it's World War III. You know that. But then if things start to go bad, then they unravel real quick.
I think that's what generally happens in these Thursday night games, too. Once the team realizes that it's not going to win, it packs it in. Now, Houston, to their credit last week, didn't do that.
Right. Well, you got a coach like Billy O'Brien.
24-0 in the first quarter, and they never packed it in, and they had an opportunity to win the game.
Did the other team, though, kind of take their foot off the gas?
Maybe, but that's not part of the whole Thursday night equation that I'm trying to perpetuate
an argument.
Exactly.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition.
Wait, I got to ask John Rook a question.
I was just going to cross over to
him. Oh, well, you said that's going to be it.
Show, now it's time.
Oh, what's the weather tomorrow night again? Rain.
Lots of rain?
That's
car wash.
Prediction?
Rain.
Yes.
and some wind. But I have a more important question, because you've written books on the radio industry.
I actually have.
You've been in the industry for decades now.
Yes.
And I
would you ever hire Andy Hart?
No. What do you think of Kurt Minahan?
Oh, dear God.
Honestly, well, this is honesty. Right. This room is honesty.
I understand that,
but I might have to recuse myself since I've worked with him previously.
Yeah, I've worked with him too.
I know
he's a dink.
You think he is? I think he's actually a very talented writer, but I think he's paid to do what he does well, and that's stir the drink.
Except he's been castrated now because of the suspension and everything. So now he tells like little jokes that aren't really that funny, aren't really that edgy,
and all that. Seem to have got you going.
Well, it's because he's, I would say that he's probably not, because he's not as savvy a radio veteran as some others, realizing that there are some things that you can do on the radio, or, you know, on the written word, that you can't do over the air. It's that simple. And that really comes with someone who's been in the radio business for a longer time than he has.
Would he do well to get a whooping? Why do you keep wanting to set up?
Fred wants me to fight him.
He does. Like, literally. Because
I'm in a little feud with him right now.
He wants him to meet him in the schoolyard.
Well, you guys are pussies.
If we're gonna go mano a mano here, I think Andy probably wins. So that's just, I mean, I don't know, unless he knows, you know, jiu-jitsu or he's
And
a,
there's my fear!
7th degree black belt. And then we might have to pick up little pieces of Andy.
Don't you think he would have talked about that at some point?
Pin his legs down.
I don't know, I could see Minahan being one of those guys that, like, dissects cats in his basement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a little off. He's definitely a little off.
Like a little hobbit.
Yes, he could have weapons. He could, yeah, no question. He's broken the kitten's neck a couple times.
Be a serial killer.
For God's sakes. What? Broken a kitten's neck.
Well, that's the telltale sign of, like,
is
a serial.
Is he married?
You destroy animals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, he is married. Okay.
That's a beard.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. All right. Well,
Andy's just
do
mad
it.
Because he won't let his son play football.
For this edition of PFW in Progress, John Rook in the playbook is back.
That's an all-time great crossover, by the way.
Yeah. And then after that, what's today, Wednesday? Oh, the Bob Soucy Show.
There you go.
After that. So as for us, pregame social starts tomorrow at 6:15?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay. Why 6 o'clock?
Just easier with the kickoff.
So, okay. All right. 6 o'clock.
Be here.
We're just changing schedules now. All right. And for us, we'll see you next Tuesday. Who's the pussy now?
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.